equipment is in with you, if I'm not mistaken. I met a remark in passing about the advertising in relation to the digital migration process that we've noticed that has been happening, but unfortunately it has been happening on the mainstream media without community print media and community radio being taken on board in terms of advertising for that. I had an engagement with the head of communication in the department. I was reliably informed that actually they wanted to procure the same services with community print media and broadcasting, but the delay was between them and TCIS. They need to finalize certain things with TCIS so that even at that community level, you see some advertising of the digital migration process and so on. If you still remember last week, I raised that particular matter. But I'm told they are dealing with that. There's a problem between the things which they were supposed to sort out, which is IS, so that they are able to procure the advertising of the community media, which will include print and radio broadcasting and so on. That is one issue. Are you ready as a business? Or the OC is here? I was correcting that we have ignored the community media, that we are actually in a process of procuring the services of community media around the issue of digital migration. So I was dealing with that matter before you come in. As a business, we are ready. You can take us through. Honorable Singh,
if you raise Chairperson, did you in your discussions with the department, maybe, is it now as a result of GCIS sort of centralizing the advertising that causes red tape to get it done? And is it a process that's going to be prolonged, and because they now have to follow that route?
The only indication was that there was certain information which was not there, which they're supposed to submit and so on. It was not about the system and the process, was in terms of the information and so on. But don't worry, we'll engage them when they come for the digital migration product things and so on. Yes. But I was just correcting that because I raised it myself that they are ignoring community media. Then later when we had a discussion, was that there was that particular problem of involving community media. And so on. But I can see after the oversight, you are in love with the community media. Don't worry, engage them when they come in Chukwu. It's fine. Is it busy?
Chair, we've just gone back to our drawing board and to try to respond to the eloquent questions that were presented to us earlier on. And our approach would be to reconfigure our documents so that we make them more intelligible and more synchronized. But an added factor is that we also wanted to present with you some erratum of the discrepancies in the allocations so that we speak with one voice and we restore the credibility of the figures to say these are the differences, these are the variants, and these variants can be accounted for. So I'm going to allow the GCEO to speak to that and to the CEO, so the CFO, to add on that. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think this has been one of the most embarrassing moments in my life. And I think I should try to explain something without popping out. When I started, some work had been done. However, when I started, the CFO had not started. She began on the 1st of March, and she has taken thorough time to review the document. In the meantime, there was pressure to submit this main document. we were keenly aware of violating MTEF requirements if we did not submit this document. So it was submitted. Now, in the process of preparing for these presentations, the CFY and I sat and looked at every single amount and how we structured the deliverables over the next 4 years. And we discovered that there were indeed a number of discrepancies in this document, which would have effectively said when we came here and we presented it as it is, we would be lying to yourselves. And in actual fact, when you measured us the next financial year, you would have been very upset that whatever we had given you was in fact not a true reflection. Now, earlier, what happened is that having had a long conversation about this matter yesterday together with the board while we were working on the document, we were of two minds. The one mind was, you know what, if we go and present any new document, we're definitely going to upset the members. But then there was also a second thought that, but if we just go with this document, which is not properly updated, having gone through the scrutiny of the new CEO and CFO, again, we would not be representing the truth properly. So in our attempts at coming to you with integrity, we then went ahead and did what we thought was correct, which was to put through a new document. Sibongile had called me also to say, we've got to have the smart document presented. And thank you for alerting me to the fact that our document is actually not smart. We only got exposure to the smart process last week, Monday. And so we basically grabbed what we thought we understood from the training we got from the Auditor General team and tried to put it in this document. So I will submit that this document, as you say, Honorable Member, probably does not quite meet the criteria. But I really implore the House to understand the difficulty in the transition and therefore, and also the necessity for us to present as best as we could what we could present. Now, in our further discussion earlier after the chairman asked us to go back and have a review, we once again looked at the document and we put together a list of what we will call errata, but it is a lot of, there are a lot of changes that unfortunately we have to request that they be included. We therefore would like to request two things. The first thing is for the House to please ignore the quarterly performance indicators as put in the presentation document. Because those quarterly, yes, in this one, in the presentation document. Because these quarterly indicators have now been updated and replaced with this document. Now, in comparing this document to the original document that was submitted, this is the list of all the changes that were put in here. I know the frustration of trying to find pages, because also the other thing is that the page numbering is not done as accurately as it should have been. So reference to slides that the CFO will go through when she talks about the erratum will be to this. And we would request the committee to to allow us to go through the list of the errata, go back to the quarterly target, go through the financials so that we finish the entire presentation. And depending on whether the House agrees or does not agree, if the House agrees, then we will go back. And between tonight and tomorrow, we will make sure that we put back into the presentation document that latest, most correct information, which is what you will get out of this. We reconfigure it so that the page numbering makes sense. And then we take the list of errata and we put it in this document, which is the correct document that you have received, however, with a number of these errata that she's going to take us through. I don't know, Chair, with that background, if the members are satisfied.
Thank you. I don't know why you pick on me. I didn't put up my hand, Chair, but I will talk. Chairperson, yes, let me just assure the CEO and the SABC members that there's certainly no malice intended when we do raise these things. We want to work together with you to make sure that the SABC succeeds. And I'm hoping that I speak on behalf of the committee, and perhaps you should do that, Chair, but I certainly have accept your explanation unreservedly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think for once, you are orderly, you are in order, honorable thing. But CEO, really, we didn't mean any harm. We just wanted you and us and your team and the board to go together because it is all our responsibility. With the experiences that we had before with SABC, that we don't repeat those mistakes. So we were just doing that so that we must find each other and we must travel this long road. And I think if this explanation that you are giving to us, it should have been your open remarks, maybe in the morning, would have long been done. Because unfortunately, we didn't have this background like you are telling us. I mean, really, the issue of transition, wherever you go, if it is not managed properly, we'll end up dealing with things wrongfully so. But if you are saying yourself and the CFO, you are new, you dealt with the document, but while scrutinizing the document, you said that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 really need to be reviewed. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because it was for the best interest of SABC. You wanted to take SABC forward. And I think, Chair, let us take the first option of the CEO rather than saying they must go back and do 1, 2, 3, 4. I think the best option of deleting the first part of the corporate plan as indicated and give them an opportunity to present before us. And also request members that let us not repeat because we have heard the clarification. Let us give them presentation. All matters will deal with them during the questioning time. But let's go with the first route, not the second route. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members. Just to wrap up probably what the CEO was indicating is that, one, there is an indication that the document which went to Parliament originally need to undergo some changes after the process which he has explained. Secondly, is the removal of the quarterly performance on this document and then replace those with the supplementary one to go in there. That will be the second issue. And then the third one is that as they are going through, they will be able to go to the list of this document and indicate where there are errors so that as we go along, we correct those particular matters and so on. Now, the issue probably which Honorable Tsebe is dealing with is the matter that when we have dealt with the document and everything, we still need to get a formal updated document presented to back to Parliament officially. Because so that it becomes a document which when the public go to Parliament website, they interact with. Because it's also going to be misleading for the public to continue interacting with the document, which we have changed, there are a lot of changes and so on. So that is the part which I think that should be after we have presented and so on, which ourselves, we need just to follow through that a new document is presented, we present the actual things and so on. So with that, I think we are ready to proceed with the presentation. If you can just continue, take us.
Thank you, Chair. I would still would request the CFO to go through the changes. It's also part of her training. I won't do her job for her. Thank you.
Then money I'll come up.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. And
oh, before she proceeds, can I talk?
Point of before? Oh, okay. Rio.
I just wanted to say to the members, this document has not been printed because they worked on it over the last hour. When we are done, it will be printed. But I will be guided also by the House as to whether you'd like it to be printed and left behind, or if we should just take the whole thing and go and rework. And you don't get this, I'm not sure.
Go to it, but we must get the soft copy so that by the time you finish to present, members, they do have it. So it's going to have impact on their questioning time. How do they question their questioning and so on. So let's get the soft copy, the committee section, they must just do the copy whilst you are busy. DOC is also here, they can be able to help us. If your parliament, system, jam, and so on. Probably do that, just proceed, but we'll just get the copy. But the issue of the copies must happen as you present, so we must just get a soft copy and then they run the copies while we are busy.
Thank you, Chair, and also honourable members for your consideration and understanding. What we did during the break is we went through all the documents that we have submitted. We will start with the corporate plan, which was delivered, the strategic plan, and then the next comparison is this big document here, which is the PowerPoint presentation, and then the third column is the supplementary information. So what we've tried to do is to compare all three at the same time instead of moving around. The list of changes starts on page 38 of the corporate plan. It's going to be quite difficult for me to move around these documents myself, but I will try. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, page 38.
If the members agree, may I propose that she just goes through that list without attempting to pick up, because that does tell what is where. It's the strategic plan, this is what it says. The PowerPoint presentation says this, and the supplementary information, which is replacing that part, says that. Thank you.
Thank you. Under restoring liquidity, we have a figure of $6.3 billion. And what we have changed is, first, on the supplementary information, in terms of aligning it to budget, we have 6.2. So there's a rounding off error on the corporate plan as compared to what the budgets have presented. And it usually happens that if the figure is about above 5 or below 5, some people round it off incorrectly, and I've round off below 5, I will round off to the least number, and above 5, I'll round off to the top number. So that's the other difference on that is slide 88, and the pages are not numbered on the big presentation.
but it's in the hard copy. It is just after the, just before page 90, which is numbered.
Are we talking about, I'm still on the first item, the 7.3 billion, which is in this one, Jacket 5. Which page is it on the, this one? Because it could be 2 of 18, but I don't see those figures anywhere.
Mm-hmm. On this one, what we have not done is we did not actually do the final revenue figure. On this one, what we did is we highlighted the individual components that make up revenue. That's what we've done on this one. So on the supplementary info, I've broken down the revenues into all their components. And if you add up all those components, they will give you 6.2 billion. What I've not done is include a total line to reflect that.
All the four items that are here, the 645 million, 4.3 billion, all that adds up to the 6.2 billion that you're talking about. That's right.
See you, Chair? Okay, thank you, Chair. All right. And on the initial one, which is the page 88 that I'm referring to in the hard copy. There was a typo. The intention, I'm sure, was to say 6.2, but it was represented as 1.2 billion, which represents the total revenue. And therefore, the quarters would be incorrect because it would be the apportionment of the quarters per quarter. It's 25%. So that intentionally must have been to reflect the total revenue line. But how I've presented it is to actually break down all the components then to get to the total. So that change of 1.2 billion is not that we've changed. It was an error in typing. So that has been removed there to correctly reflect all the elements. So we have not replaced that first line in the new document to be a replacement of that line on page 88. We've not done a swap of lines. We've just done element composition. The next one is on...
That's for CFO. Honorable C.
Chair, I'm hoping this is going to make it easier. Then page 88 is one of the pages the CEO told us is now scrapped. So as far as I'm concerned, I want to tear it out here. So don't even refer to it.
All right.
It doesn't exist.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get page 88. I can't. Now I see because I fold it. So I can't get it up. I've been pinching it, but no, it's fine.
Thank you, Chair. I think, Honorable Stein, you are right. What we need to do is to ignore the PowerPoint presentation completely and just deal with column one and the last column, Google. Forget that there's a PowerPoint presentation.
All right. Thank you. Thanks.
Right. On page 39 of the corporate strategy plan, launch of DTT. What we've done in the new quarterlies and for the year, we've included an annual target in 2012-2013 for the four new radio stations, whereas it was not there before. And then in launch of DTT News and Sports, in the corporate plan it's combined, and in our new performance indicators on page 5, we have split for news and also for sports. So we have not combined as the corporate plan is combined. We've made the split distinctly there. Then when we move on to the next one, on page 39 of the corporate plan, you have minimized audience loss. The change in our new submission of page 6 comes through on page 6. We have changed the deliverables to read 19 radio stations onto DTT. That's the yearly deliverables. On page 40,
of repositioning SABC 3 ties back to page 7 of the new document. Initially, there was a 12% set in the corporate strategy for that target for SABC 3 audience revenues, and now we realistically feel that we are already at 11.9, which is very close to 12. So we are pushing ourselves to go to 14. That's one that we think is realistic, and also I think very prudent that we shouldn't just rest on our laurels. The next pages on the new submission, page 13 and 14, are duplicates of page 11 and 12. And that's on the risk management. So there was a copy and paste that was twice. Okay. On page 38, for revenue enhancement on the corporate plan, there's amount for sponsorship figures of 437 million rand. In terms of page 2 of 18, of the one that we are looking at, we have reflected it at 387 million, and that is as a result of the budgeting process that we've gone through. What we have done from the budgets is to look at realistically what has been delivered for the year, and we don't believe that this figure is realistic, because I have explained that at the time when this was set up on the corporate plan, sponsorship was seen to be doing well, and it was kept still at the government guarantees. So that was a government guarantee figure. What I have included now is a change to what the budget can realistically deliver. And I think, members, if you can see that we are being prudent in instances where I feel we can do better, we've definitely pushed ourselves to bring in that value. And in instances where I think the figures have been unrealistic, we've reviewed them for what has been delivered for this year and still put an increase that we would like to see. And that would be the... No, that's not final. Sorry, I had not had time when you walked in as I was typing. There's just one more on the corporate plan that I've not captured there. On page 40 of the corporate plan, under technology infrastructure, you have delivered a digital payout center. There is a full digital payout center for SABC channels completed 2014. Now what we have done there is we have not included it in this plan because it's part of DTT. And we have stated that we will come back for DTT with a full case and business case for it. So we have taken out that line item so that it will form part of a bigger business plan. And that is why you do not see it on the other documents that we're working on. That is the list of errata. Now I'm done with it.
Honorable, Rogen, your hand was up earlier. We are okay now. Honorable Shinden, thing.
Yes, just while you're busy doing errata, on the corporate strategy, page 8, I think there's a bit of wishful thinking there. Halfway down, it says, during the same period, the SABC would spend a total of 3 rand on the investment of digital terrestrial migration. I think we all wish that was so. But I think we need to, while you're doing it, Rata, I suppose, just fix that one.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll pick it up. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I pick it up also. I'm not sure that 3 billion or 3 million is something like that. Honorable State?
Okay, I'm open to correction here, but there are two more erratas that I'd like to point out. On page 40 of the strat plan, and that I mean, yes, page 40, and it's under the content management and enhancement, the second line item, management of the cost of content commission. It says limit the cost per minute pricing to 2%. And then if you look at your page 8, you seem to have changed that. There's a limit the cost per minute price increase to 50%. So it doesn't talk to each other, those two. On page 8, yeah, it talks about 50% of CPI. But page 8, right at the top of the supplementary. So it may very well mean the same thing if one play around with the figures, but I'd like to know. Then there's also another one, Chair, also on page 40. And it's the, if you go down the second row above the purple upgrade of technology, it says effective management and reduction of all sport costs. Now, in your indicator, you indicate maintain an average of 9% of SABC total operating costs. On page 9 of the supplementary document, you talk about 10.5%. Yes, Chairperson, I am done. Thank you.
I'm done. Seven.
Okay. My proposal is that obviously the time given to SABC might not have been enough for them to see everything. Obviously, there will be those errors, like Honorable saying they have noticed. There will be many more that they have not yet noticed. They might not have enough time to see everything. So I'll just request members that let us continue. As and when we see them, we'll just know them during the questioning time. I'm afraid I don't want us to start again like we're starting in the morning. For progress sake, let us continue. During the questioning time, if you have noticed another errata, you just mentioned that again on pace so that they keep on adding. And in the meantime, when we are continuing, some of the members must also from that bench must also continue to check others. But I can tell you they cannot notice everything for now because they didn't have enough time. But if you are going to engage on that now, we are going back to square one. Let us proceed for the interest of time. All others that want to raise will raise those issues during question time. That's what we may plea from members.
Yeah, we are proceeding. Look, what probably must do we normally say the court must not interfere with the administrative part. But what we'll probably request the group CEO, probably as we are busy engaging, can you ask some of your officials to go through this too? Because now it's accepted that you said we'll accept this one and this one as part of the other one. Can some of them go through this document? Once we are busy, I'll take what Honorable Sabe is saying. But let them just go through this document and the corporate plan, this one, and see where probably there's a discrepancy in terms of the figures and so on, so that if members that didn't pick some of those, they can be able to do so. But let us proceed ourselves with the process, and then later, if there are issues they are picking up, then they must feedback those things.
If I may, the financials set out in the official document are clearly insufficient, and so those we are going to replace completely. And what Google is going to take you through is what will be now in the document.
Okay, Chair, moving on to the financials, I think I'd like to just draw the picture that in terms of cost management, we are keeping containment on costs. We have allocated most of our expenditure to income-producing expenses. As highlighted, local and foreign media costs are around $1 billion, and the majority of that we're spending in local content and trying to improve the local content arena. And in sports costs, in line with our strategy, we have kept it to 30% of our total costs at 607. The other cost signal and broadcast really is as a result of what we get through from Santec and whatever investments they would do in the future those, we have discussions with them in terms of what those costs will be as we make investments. On our employee and compensation, we're at about 1.9. I did explain earlier what we've done in terms of the vacancies and the management on the people costs and the strategy that the CEO has just gone through. A cost that we must be mindful that we actually have to be very strict that we do spend this year is marketing, as it's very needed for us to produce income and to improve the image and also the content that we will bring in that is new. On our other OPEX costs, what you see there, our OPEX costs are made up primarily of power, leases, and maintenance. So it's really our fixed cost. And in terms of the other bigger costs that we're looking at, it's depreciation of PPE, and that is in line with whatever we invest in terms of our fixed assets. What we are trying to do is to make sure that in terms of our interest paid, we are paying interest on time, repaying the loan capital as it falls due. So we are anticipating an amount of 114 million and projecting a net profit income of 11 million. Now, I know the members are keen to understand how does this compare to the government guarantee. In terms of a government guarantee for the resubmission, we are definitely meeting that 11.1 million if the resubmission is approved. If we move on to the revenue, which I think this is an item that I am quite interested in more than any of the others, the advertisement, 4.3 billion, and in total, we're looking at 6.2 billion rands of revenue. What these revenues entail is that we have, in a nutshell, recovered from a 10% gap that we delivered on revenues against the government guarantee, that we will now only have a 5% gap in terms of the government guarantee for the revenues. And then our total revenues have increased by 9%. So if you can see, we have pushed the increase in revenues and classic advertisement bringing in all the good amounts that are needed. On the next slide, I'm not going to go through the next slide. It's just a representation of what the revenue sources look like, graphically represented. And on the key drivers, these key drivers are the assumptions that we've used when we drew up our budget and also just how we are intending to make up on the loan repayments. If you notice, we have 333 million that we are repaying in loans for the Nedbank loans that we've taken out that's under guarantee. And what we've put aside for critical vacant post requests is 72 million, and that's taken into account with the changes and after the structural realignment. On the key drivers, again, on the assumptions, those are the assumptions that drive our net working capital. We have to manage our cash positions very closely. So those assumptions, we will keep within those assumptions to say if we have to always have, according to the guarantee, we always have to have 400 million of cash in the bank. So those are the key indicators where we have to be staying within to be able to keep that government guarantee in check. Meeting the government guarantee, as illustrated, I've gone through a 2012-13 budget. If we look at the government guarantee for 2012-13, in terms of profit, the net profit, the 11.1 million. We will keep to that profit. On the revenues, we would be delivering quite well on the revenues. On the expenditures, we'll stay within the line to still try to manage the expenditures. But in total, we will comfortably deliver on that profit. And in terms of the loan repayments, if you see the government guarantee, they expected us to have more in loan repayments. We don't have more put aside because we've already paid a big portion of the capital, so we have at least made headway on that loan repayment. The government guarantees, that's just what the year-to-date we are looking like in terms of what we expected to deliver on the government guarantee, is that we were expected to deliver a profit of 228 million. We have, we were projecting a loss at the time when the corporate plan and the submission was put through. But we are now waiting for final figures from the auditors, And from what I've been told, we are not looking at a loss, but I'm not at liberty to know what the final figures are, as we have to put through some major adjustments for year-end. So this was the third quarter at the time when this was submitted, but the fourth quarter will come back and present the annual financials for the year. These are just some of the things that we are monitoring ourselves against and checking on a monthly basis, and that's from a side of finance. It's your procurement, sports reduction, management of people and all that. So it's not things that I want to go through, but just to say we're keeping in mind, even during our budget and in financial management. The summary of our financial information in terms of our assets. In our assets, we are not foreseeing any additions to fixed assets other than the additions that we'll be making on to the foreign and local media assets. And also, we are looking very much at our cash. As you see, the cash and cash equivalents within 400 mark. So that's a key interest that we keep that within the 400 mark. In terms of our balance sheet, the key thing to manage at the moment is still cash. Right. Okay. All right. The numbers of cash and cash equivalents that we are anticipating to have at year end is 402 million rand, and the foreign and local media assets that we want to have on our balance sheet is 863. It's very important that we amortize a lot of that, so that it means that we've used it during the year. And the sports rights and productions, we also need to keep a bit to a minimum. So 173 means we are contracting a lot more better than we were before. And our prepayments, we want to keep our prepayments at a minimum, as prepayments do tend to take your cash flow out. So we are very strict about accruals and prepayments. On the trade and other receivables, we are very good at the moment on our collection from our advertisement revenues. And if you look at the revenue that we're expecting, 4.2 billion against the trade or debtors of 1 billion, we are trying very much that we collect within a specified 60 days time that we need. I'll move on to the next, which is on the side of the liabilities. And on the liabilities, I'll focus on the long-term liability, which is what we have at the moment with Nedbank, and also on the trade payables. On the trade payables, it's to our interest that we actually stretch our suppliers for longer payment terms. So we are still going to do that going into the future, but not at a point where it breaks the relationship that we have with them. On the long-term loans, if we look at the long-term loans, it's on, I'm just trying to look for it, on the borrowings, you have 390. So that's where we are anticipating that by year end, we should have repaid our long-term loan to that amount. As members are aware, in 2013-14 is the last year of the long-term loan. So we should have fully paid the capital and the interest on that long-term loan by 2014. All right. A statement of cash flows. In terms of cash flows, we are generating cash from programming of 1.8 billion, and the investment in that is costing us 1.5 billion. And our net working capital is a positive cycle because we are stretching the creditors and also collecting much earlier. And we are looking at a positive cash generated from operations of that year, 2012-13, to be 351 million rand. This is important because what it means is we are able to meet our obligations as they fall due. The SABC is doing much better in terms of liquidity. It is definitely a growing concern also. Our CapEx investment, we are anticipating 527. This is where we keep saying that we really do need some innovation and help in terms of the funding model. But as it stands right now, we are able to fund 527 million and still have restricted cash put aside of 142. and therefore it means that the cash needed for investments will be 384 million, and we will utilize from borrowing 32 million, and we will pay back 388 from borrowings, which means that total cash utilized in that period will be 420 million rands, which should be able to give us a comfortable margin of operation of still having 400 million rands of cash in the bank, given the limit in capital expenditure and also the operational expenditures that we are anticipating. The next slide, members, is a slide which shows what our cash shortfall looks like, given what needs we have, especially also for DTT. On the first line, I have showed you our total cash flow balance from our normal operations, which we will keep in every year. We have 402 in this year. What we are not able to fund from our resources and also from funding that we have from government is 1.3 billion rands, made up of the capital expenditure necessary for DTT, acquisition of content, 180, sports rights, 252 million, and also DTT dubbing and content and studio plays of 209 million rands. So we do have a serious cash shortfall for DTT as we speak. We will still try to get as much value from our creditors, which means that the value on when we procure and supply, we will have some funding make up of 447 million. But in total, we will be unfunded after stretching our creditors for whatever number of days that we can, to 461 million rand. This is a slide that shows where our borrowing debt levels are at, and I've included it just to make it at least meaningful that we have a balance sheet that we can probably still sweat, but not that much, because the need for CapEx is becoming a lot more on us. Our loans at the moment, our outstanding loan at the moment, is sitting at 888 million rand. That's the opening balance. Now, we will repay in the next year 333 million rand, and then we will close at 555 million. Then we will use some of our cash generated also to put in there of 333, and we will have an opening balance on that cash of, as mentioned, sorry, we haven't done it there, but I had mentioned it before, the opening balance on the loan that we will have on the balance sheet. I'm just trying to get to it. Of 390 million. That will be our opening balance in of that loan. And then obviously it includes interest and of the repayments. In terms of our OB vans, we have some OB vans that we are financing through the various institutions. On there, we're also able to finance both the interest and also the capital as it falls due. So that's what our borrowing debt levels look like, and we can stretch our balance sheet, but at the moment we do need funding from the Treasury for all this CTT. And that's it from the financial section.
Members, this brings us to the end of our presentation, and we would want to entertain questions, and we'll try to honestly and heartily answer them as the posing thereof. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Will that conclude the presentation? Okay. is that the chief or not yet? Honorable Shin, Honorable Kekane, I will go with the two for now. Honorable Shin.
Thank you. If we can just perhaps deal with some elephants in the room before we get started. Can our CEO please give us an update on the Malefi issue? Because I think it needs to be just be set on the table and cleared and dealt with. Also, when we had ICASA in here a week or two ago, they told us about the pending resumption or restarting of the court case of the inquiry into the Stokke Zikalala blacklist that they needed to take up. They said they were just, the lawyers were busy negotiating a date to resume that. If you can give us some indication of when it's going to happen, if you know what it is all about, if you've made a date on that yet. Obviously there's lots of questions about your declining viewership and the DTT shortfall and your revenue things. And what bothers me is that we're asking for a lot of money. Part of it is to start up a lot of new channels for BDT. Now, you're losing viewers because your content's lousy. No one wants to watch your stations. So why actually spread the agony over another 14, 19 stations or whatever it is? Why don't we concentrate on getting right the content of the three channels that you already have? Attract viewers and then attract advertising to that, and then you can buy your way into getting content for your new stations. Obviously, it's a process that you need to work towards, but you don't have the money. Taxpayers don't have the money. There has to be perhaps getting right what you've already got before you expand on it. I don't know if there are technical issues here, but to me it seems silly to want to spend an awful lot of money establishing a 24-hour news channel where no one actually believes your new broadcast anyway. Why go 24 hours when they actually don't watch it? The other thing was you have a very ambitious target for local content production, and that's great because we have a tremendous amount of we need to look at. I think that actually might be some problem that I'm generating here. Let me just switch it off. Sorry, folks. No, I've got the wireless network on. I think that's what the problem is. Your local content is commendable, and obviously the format is not being up. It's commendable. But one of the problems was that SABC had a lousy reputation for not paying production companies. Many of them went out of business because the SABC wouldn't or was a very slow payer. And I see that is part of one of the things that you said here was going to be you're going to stretch your suppliers to the maximum number that you could get away with for them to pay them. Is that going to apply to the creative content? Because otherwise, that's not fair to the guys you're wanting to encourage to come on. And then the other thing that I particularly wanted to talk about was the begging bowl that's out for the licensing fees, for the licenses, TV licenses. Now, I know that last year this issue was raised and Treasury totally rejected the idea because they couldn't ring-fence the money for SABC. And so obviously we're not going to get anywhere with that again. Would a solution be, and I've thought this through, and I can anticipate a whole pile of emails and angry phone calls, but would it not be a question, knowing that we have a culture of non-payment of basic services in this country at all levels, would it not be an option to have license fees added to the subscription costs of pay TV, and that the subscription companies are responsible for collecting it as part of their monthly dues and then paying it onto the tax man. Now, I can hear all the arguments. I've run through in my mind. But I don't think we're going to break this culture of not paying license fees. I was at a some launch a year or so ago where there was a comedian, a wonderful guy, I forget his name, had us all in absolute tears. And he said one of the problems with whiteies was that they were the only people in the country who believed that there were TV license inspectors. He said everybody in the townships knew that there was no such creature. So, you know, there's this whole attitude towards TV license. If you can get away without paying it, you'll do it. And I don't think that it's necessarily only the people with money. It's just the culture. And I think that we need it. We should be getting it. It's part of our legislative lifestyle, and we must actually get on with it. I think I'll leave it there for now. Thank you.
Thank you. You see, there are no TV licenses. You must provide them with solution. They throw back to us as legislators. What can we do to help them? So we have to help them around that. Kekan?
Thank you. So the first one is a comment, then I'll ask a quick question. The comment is just to emphasize that please, people, when you present in the past, I've said this is the communication department. And in the whole country, we're putting our trust on you to communicate what this nation is all about, what government wants, what people want. Now, if you can't communicate, just top leadership to us. I'm saying the way you write, the way you talk, the way separate part of an integral holism doesn't come together. The big question is, in fact, as I was thinking, I thought, in fact, the people are on hands-on. When I listen to radio, TV, I think they communicate much. You can hear what they say. You can criticize, you might not be satisfied, but at least there they flow. And in fact, they did us very proud when the very leadership here, and I'm not talking names, I'm talking leadership, during World Cup let us down. We worried that SABC is broken down, SABC, how are we going to cope with World Soccer Cup? And the people who are hands-on did us very proud because it went very well. We even forgot the big, big problems with so I'm just saying I wish leadership at least could bring things together and really communicate, because if you can't communicate, who's going to communicate for us in this country? That was just a comment. The first question is on skill audit. You say you present, and we've had presentation each and every year, all the time skills audit. When are you finishing doing skills? I mean, you can't do skills audit forever. At one stage, you need to tell us the skills data, at least. I mean, we are told there are people who do resign and do consultation. People at SAPC, when we did oversight, told that there are people who resign, do consultation, and get paid more. There are people who freelance because they don't want to keep one job. They want to work at SAPC, and when they are not freelancing there, they can work somewhere. That is an international phenomenon, and you can't change it. Now, this to me tells me there are skills, they are there. And you can, for the last 3 years, be doing skill studies. At one stage, it must stop, and skills must be there for you to tap. You can change as you wish, but at least it can't just be auditing skills, audit skills. Skills are there. I'm sure you've got database, and you can check whatever skills you need. I'm just not happy that we continue doing skills audit. You know, whatever we do, we must come to an end one day. It can be skills audit for a lifetime, pantula for a lifetime. I suppose it's like that. The second question, which also relates to this, when we got presentation in the past, we were told this is a turnaround strategy. At once, the next one was, we were told, okay, we think we've done a turnaround. SABC is lowering the rates. Look, we don't totally financially okay, but SABC logo is in the red. We are doing, we've turned around. Again, this thing of turnaround. We can't just every year be doing turnaround. At one stage, we should have turned around. Otherwise, if you spin around like this, you keep on spinning, ultimately you rotate with, you're no more turning around because you're going back to where you started. So I just want this thing of turn around. Actually, where are we exactly? Can we say we're still in the race? Are we not in the race? Have we done a turnaround and now we're doing a strategy that takes us ahead and we can see the progress? I think those type of things must be clear. That's how I think people in communication are taught in journalism, look, whatever, no matter how long it must be, but when people read it or listen to it, they can hear what the main points are. Whether you are failing or succeeding or halfway, or you can't just listen to something that makes you not feel where you are in the whole journey. Are you three quarter? Are you halfway? Are you just starting, or are you just jumping one place? So that is the other issue I turn around. Please explain it. The last issue, which is actually very sentimental. You know, in this country, you've mentioned it about poverty. How many people? In this country, people are unemployed. People are facing issues of poverty. There's no way that we can have a communication institution that doesn't highlight the biggest problem that is there. For example, our education center, this is my last point here. Our education department went to Germany. They gave us a report in Parliament that in Germany is successful because 60% of the people training in Germany is formal education and otherwise, but 60% do artisan skills. They don't go to university, white collar worker, they do artisan work. And the way they do it in Germany, you go into a company lab apprenticeship, you get trained there and paid, like nurses used to be. I know we have closed nurses. We must open those colleges because they attracted a lot of girls. Today, those that I was in school with are mothers, single mothers in some cases, out of choice. And their children have been sent to school, they've got cars, houses. You can see they are independent as women. And they are not at anybody's mercy. This is because of nursing. Where you are trained, paid, and they would say, my parents can't take me to university, but I want nursing because even if I can't afford further education, then I'm going to train and get paid and I'll be qualified. And indeed, they are qualified. Some are even in Britain, and they are praised there that South African nurses are very good. Now, the point I'm making is that in Germany, the system they are making is the same similar to you. A company employs you, whether it's Mercedes, from a trip they take you, they train 104 days. You do hands-on. Only one day you do theory. So you do more practical than theory. And that is 60% of their system. That works for all aspects, car industry, TV, technology, all over. This is how they are doing. They train you hands-on. Now, in this country, let alone companies, whether they'll agree to train hands-on, but the point is in this country, even if FET colleges are empty, people go to university, after finishing, 10% are unemployed because their degrees are not in line. After all the resources spent by parents, meager resources, 10% of them are unemployed. We don't see this big campaign to encourage our people to go to FET colleges, which are empty. Because if to a certain extent there's a stigma, people think if you are an artisan, it means your head is not, you're not intelligent enough. Actually, these are the kind of skills that are said to be in the interest of the economy. I like to see that content, you know. I mean, this kissing and violence and smooching American films, I don't think they really help us except demoralize us. So, when you are discussing the issue of editor, CEO, being chief editor, I'm waiting for the outcome because I like to see the content where we address the plight of this country rather than being bombarded with this American kisses and sex that is there. And I'd like you to comment about it.
About the sex part or the word.
Jochen? Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just in addition to what Honorable Kikani just said, we just need more women in the SABC and more women technicians, artisans, and then to run the television station. Yes, we need more women. And let's go back to this morning session. And my questions that I'm raising, and I hope and trust that you still remember what you said, the CEO said this morning that a lot of the local content on television is 100% outsourced. So I want to know why is the quality of the content so poor and that you have to 100% outsource that content. So what can you make sure that the content improves so that we can attract more audiences to watch TV? My children don't want to look at SABC. I don't have deaf children. I've got hearing children. They don't want to look at SABC channels. What are you going to do to attract children and youth to watch SABC channels and to look at South African content? And I like what you said this morning. You assist, especially the rural areas, for them to come up with their own programs. Does the SABC provide training to them in order for them and the rural people to develop content? And what I also want to know is that for community TV, you mentioned a lot in the beginning the community radios. In your first presentation slide, but what are you doing to support the community TVs in the provinces? I haven't seen that in any presentation slide. And then I'm not sure, I think this is the first time I've seen that the amount, the financial amount being presented to us with a DDT and subtitling. This is the first time I've been seeing this. From the beginning, I was always told in this committee there's no funds to make programs accessible for people with disabilities. So I really appreciate and I'm very glad to see that there are funds made available black and white to say that there are funds made available and that you are making an attempt to make programs accessible for people with disabilities. However, I'm a little bit concerned. And when we do discuss the DDT, it was said that more is needed to make sure whatever set-up boxes are in what we have, to make sure that those programs and that when we completed the migration, is that there would be subtitles. And the SABC keep on telling us that they will be available. And then I don't want to see that at the end, that when we complete the migration, that there are no subtitles on all those different channels. What guarantee can you give us that there will be, for all those channels, subtitles, that there will be subtitles on those programs? The reason for me saying this is that we do encourage deaf people to pay their TV licenses. And right now, Mnet, 90% of their movies are subtitled. Somehow I see that the paid TV is not working with the SABC to make sure programs are accessible. If Mnet can make it possible, and the SABC is not making it possible, that's why people are either not paying, including me, when I'm talking to the deaf, and I encourage them to pay. It's very hard for me to encourage them to pay their TV licenses because the programs are not accessible. I would rather go to court and go tell court that you are not making programs accessible. Why must I pay the TV licenses? But I encourage the deaf community, please pay your TV licenses. And then they tell them, why must we pay because there's no accessibility. And I do accept that, because how are we going to get those programs accessible? And what guarantee can you give us as a committee after the migration period, will they, all the programs be accessible for the disability community? There's another question I wanted to ask the CEO. You said that the funding model needs to be reviewed. Can you maybe explain to me in detail what do you mean? And then also the sport. I've seen on the project and the Commonwealth Games, and I've seen all the sporting events that you will cover, but I haven't seen the Special Olympics, especially the Paralympics. Also, again, that is ignored. So please, the Special Olympics and the Paralympics, why can't that be covered by the SABC? The women's Bayana Bayana. I haven't seen that. Bafana Bafana has been losing, but they're getting the coverage. But Bayana Bayana is not getting the coverage.
You see, now we are playing wrong. You see, I'm losing weight because of Bafana Bafana. So we want them to win or gain weight, man. So let them lose so that I lose weight.
Yes, please put it on black and white that you also cover those interests of Bayana Bayana as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. You started well in the morning, ladies first. I don't know what's wrong with you now. Because it's after lunch. Okay, Sebe? No, you can come. Sebe, so you can come first. Yes, you can come.
Yeah, I thought she's going to sweep up afterwards, Chairperson. Let me just, I'm going to try and be as brief as I possibly can. I know it's going to be difficult. I've had a whole weekend to go through this document, so I've got tons of questions. Chair, let me just start with this first, and it's what the Honourable Kekana touched on. As a relatively new member, I've gone through some previous documents, and the one thing that I came across with regard to skills audit was that there was apparently, and I know I'm speaking to people that were not there then, but there was apparently a skills audit supposed to be completed, I think, by the end of March 2010, if I'm not mistaken. My question in this regard really is there such a document that you can perhaps use as some sort of a platform from which to work, or, you know, do you have to reinvent the wheel? Then your question about TV licenses, I want to put out a suggestion, Chairperson. In fact, two. If I go and buy a TV, I have to either produce a TV license, and I normally just give them my ID number, and they go in, and they come back, and they say, no, you pay your TV license. Now, before we go to legislation, would it not be worth having discussions with the private sector, the subscription sector, that they could certainly access through with the SABC's approval, I'm sure, and perhaps ICASA and so on, whether the members that are subscribed to their services in fact do pay their TV licenses. That's the first step. The second step would be that anybody that...
The first step
is existing their subscribers. Do they in fact... It should be relatively easy to check via their ID numbers. Do they in fact... Are they paid up? Have paid up their TV licenses? The second thing, again, through negotiation, could possibly be that any new subscribers, a condition of that must be that they must also have a paid-up TV license. And if that fails, then perhaps we need to then look at legislation for that. But I think it should be as a matter of course. That also leads me to the next question that, again, I don't know if it's on the table yet, but then it should be part of the conditions of people receiving subsidies for these set-top boxes should be that they are a paid-up TV family. Otherwise, we could end up giving people subsidy boxes that, in fact, don't own a TV, that doesn't intend owning one, and then will simply sell that set-top box for a 50 rand or something to somebody else. That's as far as that goes, Chairperson. Let me get to my questions. I presume that for these types of documents and annual reports and so on, you outsource them, you get people to print them for you.
I think if that is the case with this document, you should ask for some sort of a rebate, because your, particularly the financial tables in here, are very fuzzy. I should actually claim back my fees for paying an optician. I thought that my eyes was, there was something wrong with my eyes. They extremely fuzzy. They shouldn't be giving you a document like this, and you shouldn't be paying for that. Then, Chairperson, in the document, there's mention of infrastructure projects to benefit provinces. Now, I don't want details at this point, but I couldn't pick up from the document which provinces and what type of infrastructure projects in terms of the SABC would benefit provinces. Then I have to ask, because it's come up somewhere and it came up before, you've approached Treasury to revise your conditions for the guarantee. And I come to the conclusion that this is based, your threat plan and your budgets are based on the fact that those revised conditions will be approved. Now, I think as part of your risk management, you should in fact consider that they may not be approved. And what effect will that then have on your plans and your budget? And I think while I'm about that, I may as well raise the again, it's in your document that your budgets and your claims, particularly your revenue, is based on the fact that you're not going to have adverse effects due to the alcohol advertising being banned. I mean, the health minister is very adamant about that. It's bound to happen. It may very well happen during the course of this financial year. I think it should be prudent once again to take that risk into consideration, because it's going to throw your budget completely out if you actually don't look at that as a scenario, because that is your biggest source of revenue. It's the advertising, and I think the alcohol advertising is probably a relatively large part of that. I had a question about the 3 rand investment that's been covered on DTT. I put this question to Sentech, and then I want to put it to you. We've seen from the department's strategic plan, they've indicated to us the shortfalls from Treasury for a number of entities, yours included, specifically to things like DTT and so on. My question to them was, you know, I think Treasury is relatively responsible, and I find it hard with a project like that, which has got the backing of government, which needs to happen within a relatively short time, that they're not coming to the party. And that they're being headstrong about it. So it leads me to ask the question, your costing in terms of those amounts, are you 100% sure, are you happy about that? Should you not re-look at your budget that you say you're going to need? And I mean, why is Treasury not coming to the party? In your case, I think in this current financial year, we're talking about almost 800 million rand that you indicate, or the department indicated as a shortfall. Now, it's not a small amount of money. And I cannot believe that Treasury would willfully say, well, we know you need the money, but we're not going to give it to you. So really the question is, have you, like you've done, and you've admitted, and I've seen it in the figures that you just gave again, you've tweaked a lot of figures here. Now, the shortfall, or the amount costed for this, for the rollout, is that perhaps the previous people that are no longer here, and shouldn't you relook at it and see whether it's in fact correct? I am concerned, and you did address it in your presentation. One of the conditions was obviously the reducing your staff component. You did indicate to us perhaps why you're not doing it. But I am concerned that you're allowing for an 8% increase when inflation is below 6%. I mean, why are you doing that? Why not, you know, what I'm worried about is you put it in your document. The unions see that, and they know they're not going to settle for anything less than 8%, because that's what you've budgeted for. So I don't know why you've budgeted for 8%, which is above inflation. I had a similar question regarding the new SABC radio stations and so on, the TV stations and radio stations. My colleague has covered that. I'm not going to talk about that. You've got in your... I didn't quite understand. No, I'm not going to cover it. I think we've covered that. Yes, your outside broadcasting van leases, I think the leases expire. I know it's not this financial year, 2014-15, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't see in your MTEF, I don't see any any provision for what happens when you've paid that final balloon payment. Are you going to be left without outside broadcasting vehicles? What's going to be the story there? Because again, I mean, that's what you do. It's a core component of your business, and you probably need those. I had something about the AG's report on smart principles that I think I've been covered by my colleague as well. The CEO was also admitted there. Is it envisaged, and I couldn't pick it up, but I imagine it should, you're going to be covering the Olympics this year still. Now, there is an event that I would imagine that advertisers would be keen to link their advertising to. But I didn't, and maybe it's in your figures, but I didn't specifically pick up that it may have been an area where you saw an increase in revenue because of that advertising. But you may have taken it into consideration. Again, at some point in the future, I'd like to, you continuously refer, and again my colleague referred to it, the turnaround strategy for SABC3 specifically. Now, this is not the meeting where you have to give us details, but at some point, you know, it's one thing to just put in the document we're going to have a strategy. I don't know if you do have a strategy. I hope you do. Because once again, if you haven't, in your risk management, you haven't allowed for, in fact, that not happening, that you have a further decline. It will once, and I think you should, because it will once again throw your figures out the window. Correct me if I'm wrong. We read a lot of documents, and I have in the past confused one entity with another. But I somewhere picked up, because I've made a note here, that your news channel is to be launched on April the 1st. Is there anywhere in here?
Honorable thing, you say, don't ask them direct. Don't ask your question like
okay, that. But I'm open to correction, but I'm sure...
Point.
I will probably find it sometime this evening, Chair, and just send the CEO where on which page it is and what it is. But I found somewhere that it says April the 1st. Maybe it was an April Fool's joke or something. And in fact, it wasn't in the document. I think it was probably an April Fool's joke. It was a news clipping, if I'm not mistaken. But it was worth finding out if perhaps you were ambitious. Let me quickly come to some of the figures. Based on what the chairperson said earlier, the CEO said, because there has been a lot of changes in your financial figures from this document to this. Unfortunately, I've worked through this, so I'm going to refer to this without necessarily looking at figures. But there has been substantial changes right up to your total revenue and total income. I'm not going to talk about that and ask you why, but I need to refer to this for certain employee benefits. And I hope it's not one of those that have changed. Chairperson, the SABC used, I don't know, 10 members of staff here to find changes. I'm alone and I've got to do it while they do the presentation, so forgive me if the figures have changed. But under your employee benefits...
That's why you are the member of parliament, they are not.
You
work for your money, continue to complain.
I think I should go and join the SABC as a consultant. Chair, the under employee benefits, you've got a 47% increase from this current financial year to the next one. That sounds very high. And again, I'm working on the old figures, please. So if you've corrected it in the meantime, then I apologize. You're obviously not optimistic in recovering a lot more TV licenses, because, I mean, your TV license fees are going up by 7%, and similarly your collection costs are going up by 7%. And perhaps one should look at the... I think your collection cost you're allowing for is about 20% of TV license revenue. If that isn't a bit too high, if you can probably bring that down a bit. Then... Chair, I will be done right now. There were just one or two in here that I have to ask related to finances, or maybe not. Now, if there's an opportunity, Chair, then I'll come back.
I need to find it. I didn't make a note. I always create one for you. Sabah? Thank you very much. Let's pray for 10 minutes 40 and come and take the responses.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My first question will be on page 43 of the document that all of us agree that we need. On the strategic objectives, I think there's a column that is missing, because if page 43, because if we have to do an assessment in your performance, there must be time frame. But there, as is indicated, is yearly, and I don't think yearly is a clear target that somebody can be assessed as an entity. So I think we must have clear time frames on that. And then, again, when you were reporting CFO, you said the revenue increased by 9%. Maybe there I'm confused. You must just unconfuse me if I'm confused. The revenue increased by 9%. But at the same time, when you were dealing with government guarantee targets, you said the revenue remains a challenge and will be 1.7 billion lower than expected. Maybe if you can just unconfuse me, it might be the person confused. And again, on the strategic plan, I think it's page 57. You lost the case against Trusto, and the organization has to pay 72 million. Page 57, on contingent liabilities. For me, 72 million is a lot of money. And it's not for the first time. SABC keeps on losing these cases. Your legal team, CEO, it leaves a lot to be desired about it. Because I think they must advise you correctly that you don't have a chance on this case. Or this is the rule that we know. But if you keep on losing cases, I think you are losing a lot, 72 million. Maybe I'm an ordinary member of parliament, that's why you see 72 million is a lot. But really, it doesn't augur well with me. And maybe if you can just share with us in total, how much thus far, the last financial year till today, we have lost in terms of financially in these cases. How much in terms of money spent only for this case? The issue of 3 rand has been addressed. No, sir. On the issue of the skills audit, I share the same sentiments with Honorable Danny and Honorable Faye in the fight. I remember it was Soli Mukute or Mukute. So, to me, I think, I don't know, unless you are saying to us, somebody is reading out something from SABC, so we have Honorable Killen has a document regarding that. Yeah. It was in my year. He said, skills audit completed by March 2010, 100%. Now we are still talking about skills audit. What is happening there? Who is responsible for this skill audit? Is it a consultant? Because obviously if it's a consultant, that means somebody is reaching something somewhere. But you just have to tell us, this 100% completed by 2010, there's a new skills audit, the relation of the two, what is happening there. But regarding the realignment and the reassignment of staff, as per the government guarantee, against the government guarantee, I think the approach that you are taking from my side, Chair, I think it's a good approach from my side. I'm not speaking on behalf of the committee on that. Because I remember very well, during one of our oversight visits with SABC, you know, and stuff, it was a serious concern. it was even had an element of disrupting the SABC itself. But I think the route that you are taking, as long as it's properly monitored and properly managed, is a good route that you are taking, so that the skills are aligned to what person can do. Not that I'm a cleaner, I'll be editing news, you know. Because those were the issues that they were complaining, that people have skills, people have qualifications, but there are more junior staff that are doing more than there are any more than some of them. So I think the approach that you are taking in this regard is a very good approach to me personally. And during your presentation in the morning, CEO, you mentioned something like SABC 1, 2, and 3 will remain as they are. What does remain as they are mean? Will they remain analog? Because that is first thing that came into my mind. Maybe if you can just clarify that remain as they are, because I thought maybe we were saying the analog. The negative report by press. I think SABC must have a strategy to deal with that. Because I agree with you. The press cannot keep on attacking you left and right, bottom and center, unless there's somebody inside who's giving them information to do so. Obviously, that somebody has his or her own motive. But as that, even the board must be involved in terms of developing the strategy, how do you deal with that? Even if it means there must be investigations, there must be investigations. Because SABC is a public broadcaster. So we cannot afford it that every time it's press, when you open, every time when it's Sunday, City Press is SABC first page. It doesn't work well to us when it's like that. So you must have strategy on how will you deal with that element. Before you came CEO, since I came a member of this committee in 2009, there's been a problem of this man, the chairperson, called Capacity. So I will always ask this question of this man or woman, Capacity. Is it a she or is it a he? I don't know. Only the people, I don't know, that if you can just set the progress report regarding that, how are you dealing with that challenge? Because all that came before you, and I've not heard you anywhere when you were presenting, mentioning anything of this person or this animal. I think maybe you have managed to address that, but if you can just take us, how far is it, the progress in that regard? There's another one element that interested me. Is the recruitment of the head of marketing. When the contract ends in March, the recruitment in June. Maybe we can just, we are the committee responsible for your entity. Maybe we can just, because, no, let me leave my because, but if you can just say, because so maybe I'll spoil it if I continue, because I have my own sentiment on that. And the other thing, Chair, there's this Atos and Siemens contract. I think, I'm not sure, it has something to do with skills transfer regarding the DTT or digital migration. My take on that, I just want to know how the SABC has benefited that, or what is the role of SABC in that whatever contract, or the, because it involves SABC again. The other issue that I like much, even the DOC, when they are here, I will never leave it, is the low power transmitter. Because even during our oversight, there's been a problem in all the people that we have visited. I hear in the morning you are saying you have this good relationship with Centec. Okay? But I just want to check the role of Centec and DOC in identifying the areas where this low power transmitter must be rolled out. Their role, and what criteria do you use to decide where do you go? Last teacher, last time when you were here, there was an issue I tried to face, maybe it's there, I didn't see it. The issue of petrol scheme, it was an issue last time when you were here, because you resorted to use a very expensive scheme. And the scheme that was there before, at least it was cheaper than the current that you wanted to use. We said to you, go back and come back and tell us what informs what. So So maybe this is the time that you must share with us, so that, because I've not seen it even in your budget, the issue of the... I think, Chairperson, that's probably the one thing I cannot see it, but I know... no, Chair, let me just pause there. I'll come back if I have noticed what I wanted to say. Yeah.
That concludes the question for this round. SABC, I hope you are ready to respond. Honorable Killen, you'll ask after responding. I hope you are ready to respond, SABC. If you are ready, I don't have to ask you anything. Just respond to your question. Probably I'll ask after your response if you might respond also to my question.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members, for those deep and rather difficult questions, and we will try our best to respond. I would like to start with Honourable Member Shin and request the Chairperson to speak to the film on Leisure Park, and then I will deal with the rest. Thank you.
We know for a fact that Phil Mollis was put on special leave by the group CEO. A legal opinion was sought to this effect, and it was given to the SABC. This matter was served in the board, because the board wanted to have a detailed appraisal on the rationale and the jurisdiction around that, and whether to what an extent was this matter informed by what was in the press, i.e. editorial independence, and was satisfied by the response we got from the CEO that a litany of build-ups resulted to the action that was taken. The board indicated that this matter be referred back to further discussions between the group CEO and Molefe. That meeting did take place. I was invited by the group CEO to speak in the meeting and to be part of those attempts at reconciliation. We had almost a 7-hour consultation within which we went into the details of the issues. Without saying much, because this matter is still under discussion, discussions were frank. Phil Mullis was very open about issues that had grieved him. The CEO put a side of the story on the table, and we are taking the resolution from that meeting to the next meeting of the board, which is penciled for the coming Friday. We hope, in all honesty, to try to find a lasting solution to this matter. But if I may take the honourable members to our confidence, this was not the first special leave. In January, when the announcement was made that there was a new CEO, Mr. Molefe went on leave. And in that process, discussions were held with him. I was requested by the board to talk to him, to be the interlocutor, as it were, and discussions resulted into a successful return of Phil Molefe to the SABC. But situations beyond our control resulted into the further intensification of tensions, which we are now faced with, and which I think we will try to bring to finality in the meeting of the board on Friday. We'll look at all available options, but we were to some extent satisfied that the issue of editorial independence was not the key issue. Well, we can give our interpretations of what this means, but we were satisfied that editorial independence is not the main issue, and we did impress upon everybody that there is just no way in which we can interfere in the content of news. There's just no way. It should not arise. It shall not. It will not. It could not arise that we give specific instructions that this must be covered, that must not be covered. It is not our turf. We assume that we're professional people who have been put in those positions, and we're not going to micromanage the news, especially in this volatile environment that is leading up to Tumangau. But also, even if in other political parties, we said everybody and anybody in this country has a right to hear their leaders. Even if there's a political party that has one follower, it is in the vested interest of that follower to follow the leader and what the leader is doing. So we will not try to cajole or or influence or redirect how youth must turn out. We emphasize this matter to the CEO and to the executive that youth is, we're in the business of youth and we would not interfere with youth. But we also did not want to take away from her the overriding oversight role she has over everything else, because she still is the editor-in-chief. Much as news is an independent aspect of what we do, but there's one accounting officer. And if at some point an accounting officer says, what is happening in this department, she has the right to hear these things. It will be up to what she does with what she hears. If she says, change this, then we have cause for concern. But as an overall accounting officer, it is in a vested interest to ensure that everything else is done properly and correctly. So, honorable members, suffice it to say that the matter was faced with. It will serve in the board on Friday, and we hope to look at a solution that is going to be in the best interest of the SABC. Thank you.
So, in short, you are saying it's not true that whatever is happening is on the basis of the publicity. Because I think the issue which the member is asking is linked to what the newspapers are reporting, that the matter is linked to the publicity of one party leader. Then there was that interference and so on. So I'm just trying to say, in short, you are saying, no, that can't be correct.
It can't be correct. Malema, like any other leader, has a right to be heard. We will give platform, we will give space, we'll accord every leader of every wealth. It is not our place to say this leader deserves or does not deserve. It's not our place. Like I indicated, that even if there is a political party that has one follower, that follower will want to hear what their leaders are saying and doing. It is not in our place. However, we might feel differently in the future, but it is not in our place. And we would not enter that space. We cannot, because we'll be setting a dangerous precedent. Things change in this country. We have a new regime. What are you going to do? We can't just be trying to be popular and take certain political stance, especially in respect of the work that we do. Otherwise, will not be worth the salt that we purport to be. So, rest assured, Chair, it has nothing to do, and it would not. And in the discussions in the board that we had, we wanted to disabuse ourselves of this fact, that it has to do with other things, HR-related matter, perhaps an aggrieved employee who thought would get this position, trying to settle in, try to accept the new change of guard. It has more to do with other things, peripheral to the issue that the press has been pending.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Chair, for dealing with that matter. Honourable Member Shin, on the matter of the Nkosi-Gikalala blacklisting, that case is a long, it's dragging along. We have no control over how far it goes and where it ends. It is sitting within ICASA, and we'll just await ICASA's response to that. Unfortunately, the SABC, there's really nothing we can do. We are, however, mindful of the fact that he was a member of the SABC at that time. And certainly the SABC has to take part of the responsibility in this matter. But we are waiting for ICASA to come back to us and tell us how they expect us to respond to it. The declining viewership, Honourable Member Shin, I think it's very important to say to you, yes, it is declining, but we actually do have some very good properties. There is a perception that pay platforms provide better content. And it's purely perceptual. And we are aware that there are a lot of people who end up going into the pay platforms because it is also prestigious. Some of my team members may want to kill me for mentioning this. But if you drive through the squatter camps and rural areas, you will find a dish outside. And for the owner of that household, it means they are above everybody else. So it's a prestige thing, and that is what some of these pay operators play on to attract viewership. We have some really good content, Honorable Shin. And what we will do is provide you with a list of some of the programs. In our top 10 programs, we have a representation across drama, and we're talking local content, drama, and I must include the Zulu News. Zulu News occupies a very high position within that state. So it's the sexual, and we have to come up with a very strong marketing strategy to change those perceptions. You asked a question, Honorable Shin, about why we are getting into DTT and why do we not concentrate on the three channels to improve them. I think the DOC would be better placed to respond to this matter, and my colleagues are back there, and I'm not sure if they would like to take that responsibility to respond. However, I think it's important to mention that as a public entity, we are given a mandate, and we were given the mandate to do DCT, and that is why we're participating in it. And there's really not much resistance that we can put up on that matter. A further question was raised on the 24-hour news channel. Without going too deeply into the business case for the 24-hour news channel, I think I should mention to the House that part of the reason is that on the three channels, SABC 1, 2, and 3, we literally are able to have news only on a basis of 1 hour per day. And yet the news gathering provides multitudes of content. In fact, when we did a statistical calculation of how much content actually finds its way, only 20% of the 100% that is generated actually finds its way on SABC 3, 1, 2, and 3. The 80% ends up in the archives, and we probably use it for other content when we do documentaries and those kinds of things. Now, as you know, Honorable Shin, the South African public gets very upset when they watch the news and they say, why was this covered and that was not covered? In the interest of fairness and full representativity of what South Africans want to see about themselves, this channel provides for that. So that is why we're doing the 24-hour news channel. We do believe that properly positioned, and there's a question, Honorable Member Lesebe raised the question of marketing, what we are doing with marketing. Part of the big challenge is that during the period of austerity measures, budgets were cut very drastically, and the marketing budget actually suffered in all of that. So with new marketing intentions and making sure that we do sell the channel, we will be able to correct that. On the question of local content producers that suffered tremendously during the austerity measures, it has been one of the biggest indictments against the SABC, I would submit. And in fact, the SABC was accused, correctly so by some of those that I actually knew about, of causing businesses to shut down. A very, very sad indictment against the SABC. However, in the absence of cash, at that time, the SABC had no ability to do any of that. You will be pleased to know that as we speak, we have gone out with an RFP book that by the end of this financial year will show us having spent 800 million rands on local content. And this 800 million rands is going to be spent extremely wisely, in the sense that we are going to start rekindling the productions that did very well and we had to cancel them because of the cost. We are going to be going back to the production sector and asking them to recreate. And as I had committed earlier, certainly in terms of accessing rural community content, a lot of that investment is going to go in there. So I have not studied, and please forgive me because SADC is a big animal. There's just so much to do every day. I have not gotten to the point where I've been able to interrogate how many of the production houses that complained were not paid have still not been paid. But I was given the impression that a lot of gains had been made. I will go back and I will interrogate, and if there are any outstanding payments, I will certainly implore the CFO to please do what is right and pay those people, the same way as we say pay the license, it's the right thing to do. Oh, I've just been passed a note from Suli, who is monitoring all of these things, and she says everybody has been paid now, so we are not indebted to anyone. But moving forward, as I had explained earlier this morning, that we are going to be very, very strict with our budgeting processes. Therefore, if there is no money, people will not commit the SADC to any production. And that way, we will not sit with Ergona phase of not being able to pay. Thank you very much for the proposal on how we can collect license fees. I really like that. We will try and approach, I'm not sure whether we need to approach ICASA or who we need to approach to enable us to be able to access the money from the pay TV operators. I do believe that this will require some legislative intervention. And I'm really looking at this House to assist with that. The Act has to be changed to enable us to do those collections. Ntate Kekani, thank you very much for pointing out. This morning you did the same thing, and you've done it again, pointing out that we are very bad communicators. Painful to hear that after we've tried to put matters on the table. And we promise you that we will improve. Again, I want to repeat, Gugu and I are fairly new, and we are finding our feet. And the SADC is a huge organization with many folds of divisions and departments and areas, and yes, but next time we promise you that you won't complain about how badly we communicate. But thank you also for acknowledging the communicators who are journalists, the people on the ground who actually do deliver the work. And I did not give you a bit of a brag line about some of our journalists who have won the CNN award, which is very difficult to just get. We have two journalists who won the CNN award. We have quite a few who have won the is it Vodacom? Journalist of the Year Award, so we do indeed have good communicators. I will pass the word on to them that you have praised them in this forum. The skills audit, this is actually a bit of a shock for me because there is no document that exists within the organization, and certainly the new human resource executive has said there is no skills audit that was conducted. So I am not sure. Some of the members are here today and perhaps they'd like to add or subtract from what I'm saying, but as I speak now, there is no data that shows that any skills audit has been done. And I want to assure you, Ntate Kekani and Honorable Lesede, that we are doing it internally. We are cutting down dramatically on the use of consultants because I have argued and my team has understood that we ourselves are the experts. Why should we be going out to look for people who we first have to teach about the industry before they can actually discover what it is we want them to do? So we are doing it internally. Everybody is committed, and they're all online. We will have the results at the end of June, and the reason is it will only be at the end of June is we're doing it in both ways. We're doing it from a quantitative perspective, which is just getting statistical data, but we're also going into qualitative because we want to understand from the staff what their innate capabilities are, because innate you cannot measure. The person has to say, you know what, I am actually such a talkative person. If you just give me an opportunity to audition, you'll be amazed at what a great anchor I can become. That is the qualitative aspect that will take a bit of time for us to get through. But as we get results for areas that do not require too much qualitative review, we will be immediately starting to reassign those people. Ntateke Kanyi also spoke about whether or not we are doing anything about poverty matters. I don't know how to describe it, Ntateke Kanyi. The touching lives has become the single biggest thing in South Africa, and it is about rural communities. You asked us about whether or not we are doing anything to convince people to go into artisanship. And yes, indeed, we are that. In fact, if you look at some of the programs that we're going to be launching, and some of them are already running, we are beginning to focus on the idea of South Africa becoming the breadbasket of Africa. Therefore, we are making agriculture, for instance, as one of the most critical career areas that will make South Africa become a better place than what it is now. And we are encouraging young people to go into agriculture. We have a series of skills programs that we run, exposing young people to all kinds of occupations that they can follow. So yes, we are doing those things in Ntateke Kanyi. But thank you very much for your comments in these regards. You've just highlighted for me that when we go onto our marketing drive, we should make a lot of noise about the content that already exists that addresses these matters. Oh, and we also have a very, very good relationship with the Gift of the Givers, who are also concerned about poverty alleviation. And UNAIDS and USAIDS, we do a lot of work with those people. Honorable Member Drochen, you asked us about the 100% outsourcing of local content. When this decision was made, it was made because there was a recognition within the SABC that we've got to help stimulate the economy. And this is a long time ago. And we needed, as the SABC itself, to focus on the most critical area for content, which is news and current affairs. And therefore, we believe firmly that with news and current affairs, that cannot be outsourced. It's got to be done internally. But other content, there are lots of creative people out there who we would not be able to access if we tried to do them, to do those programs ourselves. Now, you asked the question, Honorable Drochen, about subtitling content and what we are doing to increase access for children as well. It's been a hard road for the SABC, and we have budgeted now for compulsory subtitling for every program that gets renewed by the SABC or new programming that comes to the SABC. We are going to be insisting on subtitling, and we have made a budget allocation for that. But just to give you an idea of the cost of subtitling, because I think it's important that the members know how committed the SABC is to utilizing the budget to the best benefit of the public. It currently costs in the region of 1.2 million rand to subtitle the soapy Isidingo, which, as you know, is fully subtitled. The same thing goes for Mubango, and the other soapies, Sivendelan, which I hope is a favorite of a lot of people, and I hope you do watch it again. We are currently working with Generations to ensure that they also start subtitling. So the question of the cost of subtitling has gone out of the window because we budget for it now. So nobody will be able to say to us they can't because it's too costly. So we are taking care of that aspect. The news, as you may be aware, Honorable Member Drachen, is fully signed. And as we move into the 24-hour news channel, part of the budget is allocated for signing throughout. In the beginning, it may not be possible to do it 100%, so perhaps for the first year we will just select only the main news bulletins and possibly not do the highlights, just so that we can manage our costs moving forward. But as we develop and as we move on, we will ensure that everything indeed is signed. The only area we're unable to sign is sports, and I'm not sure how we can do that. I will have to rely on your wisdom there on how we can assist people who are hearing impaired with sports. You asked a question about the funding model and what it is that we mean. Honorable Shin asked the question why it is that we're going into DTT. And I think I've explained a little bit why we need to go into DTT. The reason we're raising the question of the funding model is to say precisely that even with the current platforms that we have, money is scarce, so we are stretching the rent as far as we possibly can. When we go into DTT, the demand for content is going to go exponentially higher. And without getting additional funding from the fiscus that will enable us to do everything we need to do, we may end up not being able to do what's supposed to be done on DTT. In other territories, such as the BBC, I don't know what the figure is now, but about 2 years ago, they were, was it 90% that they were getting funded for in the fiscus? I'm not sure. We'll have to check the figure. Suli will give me the figure shortly. But in all the territories where there is public broadcasting, there is substantial fiscal funding. The anomaly with us is that we have to raise 80% of our funding from advertising. And having painted the picture that I painted, and I hope you do agree that the SABC as a public broadcaster plays such a critical role that it cannot afford to be shut down. So if the SABC should not be shut down, and we have acknowledged in the presentation that I made earlier the big challenges around attracting advertising revenue, the big challenge around the very limited amount of time, the window that we're allowed to advertise on, and all of that we do need financial assistance. So when I talk about the funding model, Honorable Drachen, I'm talking about the amount that government has been talking about quite a bit. There has been discussion around possibly 60%, am I correct? My colleague Swamile? 60% coming from the fiscus, but we are not seeing much movement from there. Swamile has just confirmed to me that that's about the amount. So we're looking forward to a change in the funding model where 60% will come from the fiscus. SABC will raise the rest of the money either through license fees or through advertising, depending on what we finally end up with and the agreements we enter into. Honorable Drachen, yes, we are going to be doing Special Olympics this year. Again, the Special Olympics used to run on SABC regularly every second year, I think it was, but because of lack of funding, it was dropped. Again, it's another challenge that has to do with the advertising industry, who are not keen to participate, to put advertising in content where they don't believe there are enough eyeballs. And South Africans, unfortunately, very sadly, they don't really watch some of these programs, so it remains a challenge. And after this year's main Olympics, we will be broadcasting the Special Olympics, so you will actually see a continuation on our schedule. We are still searching for sponsorship, and in discussion with our principals, we are also looking at how government can come, the various government departments can come to the table. The Department of Sports is certainly one of them, who possibly could be able to assist us with paying for some of the content or enabling us to do the full scale. Banana Banana is part of our agreement with SAFA. They are going into the schedule, and you'll be pleased to know that the 36-month schedule that we say we have designed has locked down very precisely the times and dates on which these games will be played. So, yes, you will see Banyana Banyana, and you are also going to see the under-23s, together with Bafana. So we are very committed to that. Sports development remains a major area. Again, we're in conversation with our colleagues at the Department of Sports on what else they can be able to fund so that we can have even minority sports. Boxing, the boxers are screaming at us for not providing them with space. And again, the digital channel, which will be the sports channel, will again enable us to bring all of these sporting codes in. Honorable Stein, you spoke about the 2010 skills audit, and I think I have responded there that as far as I know, there are no results. Thank you for the idea on TV licenses again. I unfortunately cannot respond to the question on the subsidies for the set-top box. That sits in the purview of the DOC, so if you'll allow me to move from there. The infrastructure projects that we're talking about in the region, as members have made their oversight visits, I'm aware that some of the complaints have referred to the bad state of the buildings that our people are in. We have set aside a substantial amount of money where we're doing serious refurbishment. And at the same time, because of our migration to digital, we are digitizing their studios, their newsrooms, etc. But we also have a bigger plan of eventually being able to have studios where people in the remote areas can be able to come in and do their dramas, for instance, because there are no facilities in some of these areas. Google will talk to the question around the threat plan as to whether it has taken into account the government guarantee review, because they have asked what the risk is if we base our financials on an assumption that the government guarantee will be reviewed. She will talk to that. I'll hand all of those to you, Google, when I'm done. Let me hand over all the financial matters. And on the alcohol ban, I know that there's something that she's able to tell you around there, together with the treasury shortfall. On the question of the increase of salaries to 8%, we've only just hatched the budget. We are not saying that's what we're going to pay the staff. Certainly not. We have hedged the budget because of an expectation that was created to staff before my time when they were paid a substantial increase. I understood why that was done. In the same vein that Honorable Kekani spoke about the wonderful people who are actually on the forefront of the SADC and delivering the content, etc., etc., we cannot prejudice them. Those people are extremely hardworking. Leadership can come and go, but those people remain constant. Any increase that we will agree with the board, which is still to apply its mind on whether or not there are increases, that increase will certainly not go to the higher levels of the organization. Anybody who has the title manager and up will only be paid on performance. When I spoke about performance management, I really meant that. Things like bonuses will have to be performance-based. Things like inquisitors will have to be... If a person comes in and they do the bare minimum of the work that they need to do, then they qualify for just the bare minimum of the salary that they get. But if they stretch themselves, and there are people who are like that, who stretch themselves, then those people will then qualify for an increase. So we are not talking of a blanket 8% increase. If the board does even agree that we even increase the salaries, it will not be blanket. All events, Google will speak to that. Olympics ad revenue, again, it's a question of advertisers just not wanting to put their products on that space. Okay. I think I've answered most of the questions.
There are some remaining. Any other one to respond?
The other question, I would like to hand that over to Google. Now I can't even remember your name, to Suli, to handle, because she's been seized with that matter, and she's busy developing a strategy around it.
Mr. Mtimde Gina. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Just to first add on the question asked by Honourable Member Sheena in terms of the why the TTT route.
I didn't ask why the DTT route. I understand fully the DTT route. My question was, can you not do DTT with just your three existing channels to get that right before you go into new channels, because there is no money for new channels? That was my question.
Okay. Yes, because I was going to consider that it's an international imperative. It's not even just a DOC question. Once migration expires, we want to protect it here. I think the other part of the question was answered in terms of clearly the capacity we will get and the cost-benefit the analysis that needs to be taken in terms of using or not using. And also the opportunity in respect of growing the viewership, etc. I think that question has been answered by the CEO. But on the ATOS the contract, I think what one can say now is that we basically had a discussion with the previous service provider, which was Ericsson, and sorry, Simon, my apologies. And as we were concluding that, we were then exploring the way forward in respect of which service provider and what should be the terms and conditions of that contract. At this stage, we are finalizing the analysis of that, and I think the matter will come before the committee and the board for a recommendation in terms of the way forward. At this stage, I think that's where we are, and we've not necessarily concluded or signed onto that contract. I think another member, Gina, wanted to add on the other.
Yeah, in the next Parliament 2014, Mr. Gina.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to add some responses that the CEO has given on the declining viewership. As a board, we did receive a presentation from the executive that seeks to address the matter by improving the capacity of market intelligence within the corporation. And also using internal research to go deeper into the ARs that are released in the public. And we think that that's a right approach that they've taken, and as a board we fully supported that truth so that they may go deeper into finding the real reasons why people are moving into other places. However, I think we must realize that South Africa is a country of 49 million people, with different tastes and different cultures. and therefore it cannot just be mechanical that when you lose viewership it's because of the lousy content only. There may be other reasons that relate to the taste that our people are interested in. On the issue of the 24-hour news and the launch date of the 1st of April, I think it requires institutional memory. The committee will remember that the initial presentation to this committee was saying that the 24-hour news channel was going to go on a DSTV, on a satellite channel. And we came to this committee raised concerns, serious concerns about the exclusion of majority of South Africans in that arrangement. And at that time also there was a change of leadership. You had Mr. Nicholson leaving SABC and Mr. Phil Molefe coming in to act in the position. And he was fully apprised of the concerns of the committee in terms of excluding many South Africans from the offering. Hence, then the proposal that came to the board was, how about using SABC3 as a channel to deliver the 24-hour news? And the board said to the executives, led by acting GCO Phil at that time, the board will need a thorough feasibility study, a cost-benefit analysis that must come to the board to convince the board that it is even worth exploring using SABC3 as a channel to deliver that content. And when then there was this change of leadership with Manny Lama coming in, it was at a point where the board was still waiting for that cost-benefit analysis of using SABC3 as a channel, because the board wasn't convinced that it would be automatical that if you move the 24 new to SABC3, then it will recoup the losses that SABC3 has been making for some time. So then, hence then the idea, that was the original idea of using the satellite channel up until first time that we go to DTT came back. So that made the issue of the date to change, therefore, because it meant that you had to go back to people from the SCV, engage with them, to provide a platform in the time being between now and the time that DTT will enable SABC to deliver this content to the rest of the South Africans. On issues of education, I think we've got SABC education in SABC, and recently we received a presentation. In fact, the presentation was about what needed to be offered to a private insurance company in exchange of what they contribute to the programming in SABC education. And the view of the board was a view that says that the new executives have got a mandate to go and engage with the Minister of Higher Education and the Minister of Basic Education, so as to concretize partnership with those two important government departments. Because we were of the view that maybe SABC education is left at the junior management level, and those engagements are not taken at the higher level, and we hope that in the board meetings to come, the executives will come to us with a concrete partnership with the two Department of Education. Currently, there is a partnership. For example, I think Ukozi in the evenings do promote to our people the issue of skills, artisanship and everything. But we have received a complaint that during that time also the kind of adverts that are aired, it's like Umbusankunzi and those, are problematic, because whilst the kids are listening, they are also listening how to improve other things. I think
for the benefit of Honorable Shin, Umbuza Nkunzi to awake the bull.
Okay. I think Honorable Chairperson, we will have another debate another day with Honorable Kekane on whether the issue of the single mothers, whether it's out of choice or not, because the view of many is that it's because of the patriarchal society that it is still men who must ask for a hand in marriage to a woman. Maybe if those qualified nurses can be allowed to ask us, maybe they will not be single mothers. But I think the issue of the skills audit, I think Zweli sitting at the back there is laughing, Zweli Ntembu. When we came as a board, there was an issue of a skills audit that was said to be done. But Zweli came in, this is 2010. And I think that due to the changes or the lack of stability in HR, this is why we are here today. Because as you know, there have been a lot of changes in that department. It's only now that Mr. Lesara has been appointed on a permanent basis as a GE head of HR. Because I think there's never been a report. I mean, since we came in, when Zweli came in also, he heard that there was a skills audit. In fact, I think it was done by an external company. And it's somewhere, it must be lying somewhere there in SABC, that skills audit. And it is not that as people responsible for oversight, we have not done anything about this. I mean, it's just doing the issue of the skills audit. There's quite a number of projects that are not coming to finality. I mean, when we came, we said that issues of, for example, disciplinary policies must be changed. Simple things like how many chairpersons must sit in a hearing. I mean, there are those things, and which we think that because of absence of leadership or the issue of capacity, the female or the male capacity problem, which is there, you find a situation where some of these things have not come to conclusion. And as a result, we have now begun a system where at the board level, at the subcommittee level, we are saying we must have a dashboard now that says that so-and-so is responsible for this project, and is it red, is it amber, is it green, and all the time. So we're trying to use that. And this year we were supposed to have started to use what we were told by Mr. Nicholson that has been signed already, the performance contract. Unfortunately, we couldn't find them because as a board, some of us in some committees were starting to say, but guys, we were told by Mr. Nicholson that you've all signed performance contracts, you want to see them so that you may use them in order to take action. Unfortunately, we were made to understand that the new CEO did not sign any performance contracts for some of the addresses that were existing, which is very unfortunate. I think
here is Zweli. He was not in. He just came in now. We know about the skill audit for 2010.
Yeah, Zweli knows that when he was there in 2010, there was a skill audit. I mean, we do need an organization that is in the middle of an organizational change and a culture shock, maybe for some. Because I think this thing, we know that in terms of the AGSA, we need to reduce the use of consultants. And it is my feeling that some managers are begging to operate without consultants because they have been so used into using consultants in whatever they do. And that's one of the things that we have confidence that the new CEO will be able to lead and ensure that people are remunerated for really executing their jobs. I mean, we sit with a company that did some work on the turnaround that is now coming back to us to say, you were also asked by your executives to do further things that ordinarily were supposed to be done by executives. So this is just a challenge we sit with. And I mean, in one board meeting, they were telling us that they are consulting with senior managers. And we were asking a question as a board, are senior managers members of the union? Because this consultation sometimes takes too long to happen to such an extent that it affects all of us. So I think those are a few of the things that I felt I needed to make. Thank you, Honorable Tappas.
Thank you. What's next? CEO.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Lisebe is back. So, sorry. My apologies. And she did have some questions which I had not responded to. Trustco is just one of the many examples of massive failure in our legal department. The department has not had a head since Advocate Nsiyeso Mofokeng left, which was last year. We have recognized that massive gap. In fact, we need to bring in very strong attorneys in there, and we are working on a recruitment process of that. We have identified a few people that would like to interview and see if they can take that over. And we're hoping that we get people who are very strong in litigation, because the SABC sits with litigations that are just completely unacceptable. So we are working on that. SABC 1, 2, 3, no, will not remain on analog. They will also migrate to DTT. My apologies that that didn't come out very clearly. Media strategy, indeed. We absolutely need a new media strategy. The head of communications is with us here, Kaiser, and he is working on an integrated media strategy that will go to the board subcommittee in June. The human being called capacity, sometimes it becomes difficult when people say to you, I actually don't know how to do this thing. And we know that the reason is because training kind of took a back step at the SABC, and people are going to be recapacitated, retrained. Where there is a need for us to recruit new people, and that will be a matter that will be raised from the perspective of what is critical, we will bring new people in. But I'm certainly not aware of any other reason why we would want to say we have no capacity. Cash is a problem, as we have stated, but we hope to fix that. The low-power transmitters rollout, Honorable Member, is done in consultation between the DOC, CENTEC, and SABC. As it is, the plans that we now have to roll out 100 low-power transmitters this year, another 100 next year, and another 100 the year after, ending up with 300 low-power transmitters all over the country, is a joint plan by the three entities. I am informed that their decision process is very largely located on whether an area actually does have a community that lives within it, and whether or not the transmitter that will be set up there will be able to reach all of those people. And where we are clear that it may not reach all of those people, then we have a conversation with CENTEC, who through their satellite capability will take over the role of going to those areas where it's impossible for a mast to reach those people that it needs to reach. The petrol cards, I think it's a very hard learnings that have come out of that. I'm sure from the executives who were here when the decision was made, I wasn't there. A knee-jerk decision that was made on the basis of what has come out of the AG report, with certain people abusing the petrol cards, changing engines and doing crazy things like that. And as part, I think at the time, the thought process that occurred to management was that the best thing is to replace the petrol card with cash. Suli has spoken about this quite a few times. Therefore, the cash allocation was made, with the petrol card being replaced by 10,000 rand per member, per staff member, who qualified for a petrol card. Clearly, that has not worked because the cost is much higher. Now, what we have decided to do is that every employee gets paid on a cost company perspective. There is nothing like petrol card anymore. All they get is a standard car allowance, which does not include a petrol card. Any new employee who comes in gets that, and there is no allocation for fuel and other expenses for the car. So we're moving forward in that way. A difficult question was posed, I think the last time Sulu was here, on why the SABC does not want to recover the monies that it's been paying out to people. We believe it will be an administrative nightmare, but we are applying our minds to that. We have not arrived at any conclusion apart from saying, moving forward, we are no longer going to be doing that. I don't know if Sudhi would like to add to what I have just said. And that will really be concluding my part of the responses. And from there, I will hand over to Gugu. Chair, if you agree, can I ask Sudhi to add if she's got anything to add?
Thank you, Chair.
You know, before you speak on these of petrol cards, can you just tell us in simple language what exactly are you doing? The CEO said are complicating cost to company data. We just want the clear cut simple language. Are you continuing with it or not or what? Yeah? Just that simple, you know, the layman language, CEO, yeah. Yeah. So that we understand.
As at
Chair,
I think the in 2010, the petrol cards were withdrawn from operation. So any individual who benefited from a petrol card other than the fleet cars that we have, other than the sales personnel that we have, all managers or senior managers that had petrol cards in the past, they were withdrawn in 2010. And they were then replaced at that time with 10,000 rand as a benefit. What we are saying then in terms of the total cost to company is that if we are making an offer to an individual to say that you are being employed as a manager at 800,000 per annum, you as an individual, you then have to structure your salary in accordance to what you are getting. There are no additional benefits that the SABC will give, for an example, a petrol card. If you want to have a car allowance, you can structure it yourself, either being at 5,000 or 10,000, but it will come out of that total cost that has been given to you. The SABC will not make additional or give additional amounts. And what has since happened is that there were individuals who were employed whilst the petrol cards were being withdrawn. They were not then given that benefit. They were given a special allowance, which was even less than the 10,000. So it was still within the SABC policy, but now the policies have been reviewed. The petrol card scheme does not exist for management other than the ones that we provide for fleet cars and for sales team. And that also is kept. So it's not a limitless card as it used to be in the past.
Someone was saying you're going to talk about because
they are okay. What has happened with the Siemens relationship? This relationship started around 2002 with the then executive and board that was there. We, as the monitoring and compliance unit, have undergone a process of elimination to determine whether who was involved in getting the Siemens contract on board, who are the parties involved, and what has happened to either an internal audit report or an external audit report that was issued at the time, and how much have we paid to date, and what were the deliverables of the Siemens contract, who managed it at a global level. what approvals were sought, either from a technology committee or a subcommittee of board, or at EXCO level, or even at board level, and what regulations, policies, or standard operating procedures were followed in getting Siemens on board at the time. And also, what has since happened in the past 18 months, we have gone through, as executive and management, a process of that contract came to an end, went through a termination process with Siemens, and the arbitration process, because in the contract, they were allowed to then cede the contract to another, a company of their choice. This company is Atos. When they ceded the contract to Atos, the current board has not signed that agreement because Atos needed to first do a due diligence, which was recently presented to EXCO and the Technology Subcommittee of Board. And once that has been approved, it will then be sent to board for approval. We will then be able to come back to this committee and inform them whether are we then continuing the relationship with Atos based on the results of the due diligence and the work that is still outstanding from the initial contract, or we are going to retract it.
Right, thank you. There was a question from the honourable members about whether the risk of the budget not being accepted by Treasury in terms of the government guarantees. If we look at 2010-2011 and also 2011-2012, of both those financial years, we've had the government guarantee in place. And some of the criteria have been met, but on the financial measurements, we have not been able to meet the government guarantee expected targets. And that's two consecutive years. What we have done as management in our prudence is to go back to Treasury and say, in light of this trend, there is a lot of work that has not been carried out that you had expected would have brought in the value and the benefit. The likes of SABC3 was supposed to have been relaunched last year, and also the marketing should have been vigorously delivered last year. Those activities were carrying forward this year, and we will be able to deliver them. But now, in terms of revenue, we've lost time to gain those revenues from the market. And we have we are in negotiations and talks with Treasury to say, in terms of our corporate plan and strategy, the elements of our corporate plan and strategy are fundamentally the same as what the corporate plan requires of us. But in terms of capturing the value of the money that we should have banked in a few years ago, to now and the revenue growth, we are not going to be able to meet those targets. So we have not been able to meet them financially. And we don't want to get into a point where now we go back and forth with them and in an argument that, oh, you did not meet the targets again. But what we are saying to them is, let us review the targets. You can stretch them, but this is a budget that we are going to deliver compared to what we've already delivered on the current year. So our budget is created on the basis that we are projecting from current performance. Given the current performance where we are going to end up and what we're stretching ourselves for, we're still not going to be able to meet the government guarantee in terms of the net profit line. Do we see this as a risk in terms of Treasury not approving? We're not clear whether Treasury is going to approve or not, but we do hope that they will approve this because it is actually the most honest situation that we are presenting. Instead of trying to hide and not be transparent with them, we've taken the road least travels to be transparent, and we hope that it does add in our favor. But should it not, it doesn't jeopardize that our activities will not be carried out. It's just the bottom line, what we are able to deliver against the bottom line, does not jeopardize the loan. And NetBank, we've had discussions with NetBank as a long-term loan provider, and they are not so fazed by us not meeting the net profit line, but rather that our cash from operations are sufficient to cover the loan obligations. And we have provided to them the comfort that the $400 million will always keep in the bank account, which gives enough comfort. Plus also the cash from operations
is in above 350 million every year. And what we are doing there is the interest cover would be enough, and we are able to meet the repayment. So we don't foresee the loan being recalled or Treasury stepping in to help on the loan. The next question was from the alcohol ban. The alcohol ban has been identified as one of our key risks in our strategy and also for our revenues. And what we have done in being prudent is that although we've included it, because currently the situation is that we are still deriving revenues from alcohol, in our strategy and our risk mitigation, we have definite plans on how we're going to engage on that. And some of those plans, without being specific, is we are having engagement with the Department of Health in terms of how do we replace those revenues. We could not replace all the revenues from the Department of Health, but also with them, how they communicate and advertise in future on health issues so that as they take away revenue sources, we're able to make up. Alcohol does account for a good percentage of our business, but it's not the only part. And we are pushing our sales force to go out and find new customers, new sources, new mediums of advertising. But one thing for sure is it will impact us, but we have a mitigation to minimize the impact of what it would have been had we not have mitigation plans. So we have some mitigation plans that are robust that we'll carry out. There was a question also about Treasury and its allocation of funding. I think it was not generally for the SABC. It was also in reflection to the DOC and the other SOEs within the DOC. Honourable Member, I think it was Honourable Member Shin who asked this. From the SABC's point of view, I cannot speak on behalf of Treasury in terms of whether they don't put us as precedents, but we all understand where the country is right now. There are other pressing needs, I'm sure, your roads, your health. And we, in terms of service delivery, there are other competing primary needs out of the fiscal. And I think in the DOC, as much as we've not received our required allocation, it is a matter for the two ministers to engage on. But from our side, we really will not be able to give you any sense of understanding of what happens behind those closed doors at Treasury. And you also wanted to know about our costing for projects that have not been funded. Our costing is very much in line. Every year we do go out in the market to look at where service providers are pricing. As we speak, even on DTT, on our business plans, although the service providers have been engaged over the years and there's been discussions, we've gone out and looked at what the escalations and increases could be. So in terms of costing for the services, I think we are doing the best that we can, and also understanding that we also have procurement process, which we will use to the best of our advantage in capturing the savings that we need to. But in terms of our costing, I think we are very good at our costing and the business plan. CEO, you did cover the salaries. Yes, okay, thank you. Then the next one is the OB van, the expiry of the OB van's, I think, the funding. On the OB vans, we have four main OB vans when we talk about big size. Of course, we've got the other smaller ones. But of the four, only one of them will be repaid in the next 2 years. The other three are fairly new. We still have plus 2.5 years to go on them. Yes, there are balloon payments at the end of the OB vans' lease life. And we have a model in Treasury in terms of our cash flows where we do provide for commitments and also contracts. So in our cash forecasting, as you see it there, it's already taken into account commitments that will fall due in the foreseeable future. So we are very prudent in that respect. You also mentioned, Honourable Member Steyn, employee benefits. Your calculation based on the current corporate plan, the employee benefits, my calculation gives me 4.97%. Maybe it could be that, we're saying on the 4 and you are saying 40%, but definitely if I do the math, it is 4.9 rounded to 5% increase. So it could be an error of a zero at the end. There was another question from Honourable Member Zere. I did say it right, didn't I? Thank you. All right. In terms, you wanted clarity on the government guarantee. On the government guarantee, I included for the benefit of the House just an analysis of where we are sitting in terms of projections as end of quarter three, before we wrap up on our financials for quarter four for the year. At that point in time, and that is why I was stressing the need to engage with Treasury, is that in their forecast of their revenues for the SABC, we were behind by 1.7. And that is why I'm saying every year we have consistently not met the government guarantee targets, as we do believe that they were very optimistic and not feasible. So, yes, we are under pressure to meet government guarantee targets in terms of figures. And yet, at the same time, our sales force and the business, we are working very hard in a sense that whatever revenues we have delivered, we've consistently delivered more than at least 8% year on year. Last year, we expected the business to deliver 6%, and they have managed to deliver 7.5%. This year, we are pushing them to 9%, even given the industry where it's going with the different changes and the legislation. So in my view, our revenues are under pressure from competition, yes, and on the sponsorship. The sponsorship was really unrealistic, but we are going to be able to bring in at least 9% increase on the revenues. So that is 9% from current year of what we have delivered this year to what we will bring in next year. Thank you, Chair.
Follow-up question? Three hands? Honorable Chair, now do you follow up without even asking a single question? Honorable Kilen Kekane, Shin Sein Rochet. Madam Kine?
Chair, I was never under the impression that I must first pose a question and I cannot participate in the follow-up. Can I just quickly ask, this document, the presentation document, can I just ask you to page 2118? Because with reference to the question about employee benefits and escalations, etc., what I find a little difficult is that we're looking at employee benefits for the financial year before us, totaling 998, and then it escalates in the next year to 1.5 billion. Was that the exact question? Yeah, because that just seems to be very, very, very steep increase. You know, because if you look at the rest of the figures, there is a gradual increase, but this is quite significant. So can we perhaps just have a clarity on that? The second thing that I wanted to ask is, I have carefully listened to the issue of the business plan for the News 24 channel, and members have asked questions. We have a difficulty to find content and to really keep all the programs running, and with more channels to be opened, you know, what will the implications be, and is that perhaps going to lead to this sort of increase in employee benefits? I don't know. But how are we going to manage all of that? Then lastly, just two issues. Chair, the one is we were presented with a 7 billion shortfall during a presentation in the course of last year. Fortunately, that has not materialized. But I just want to know where we are as far as that is concerned. And then what is the policy of the SABC with regards to competing to attract viewers away from one channel SABC 2 to SABC 3, and I specifically want to refer to local content development of Seven Delan, but there's now a concerted effort to attract people to go to SABC 3 in the same slot. Why do you compete with yourself, and why don't you compete for the satellite televisions to actually attract viewers from them away and to retain your viewership where you have it? Make sure that you make the most of it. Don't compete with yourself, but compete for the others, because that is where the real competition is if we look at the pay TV setup. Thank you, Chair.
The first follow-up is on, you know, when I spoke about the education system, if the numbers really show my gratitude, because responses were positive. I'm not saying fully satisfactory, but at least it shows we can criticize you freely, you don't get angry. We panic when you get angry from criticism, but I'm happy you responded. You took criticism in a bad spirit. It's not easy to take, I mean, in a good spirit, sorry, good, yeah, good, excuse. So that we think is a good signal that shows there'll be a lot of improvement and there's hope in SABC. The one follow-up I want to make is again, and I'm happy that you're integrating with basic, with both basic and high education, because to be honest, we can have a very powerful information production or skill production system in this country. Just if we don't know how to use it, or we don't channel it properly, we'll still have all these problems that you are having. The point is that we still have 60% of our youth in this country finishing matric and getting unemployed. And whether it is the system that is not working well, or these children don't have anywhere to go because indeed our economy is in line, what we worry is just to align our knowledge production institution with the economic institution. Because if those two don't go together, one is doing its own thing, the other is doing a different thing, we're not going to solve social problems like poverty, crime, juvenile delinquency, because the 60% of these who that have finished matric are sitting at home and they don't know what to do with their lives. And ultimately it is babies, illegitimate children who cannot be properly taken. It then becomes a vicious circle of juvenile delinquency, crime, and you can just see when you look at it that what, where are we heading to? So when we see models like in Germany, where the 60% do vocational, and they are the industry absorbs them, they train them, and they pay them at the same time, just like the health industry is used to absorb nurses, pay them and train them. I mean, we've seen that model of nurses working for us. And when German say it in a 60%, I mean, we don't all need to be scientists. It actually takes Albert Einstein, one guy Jewish, German Jewish, to revolutionize the whole science. Ultimately, we can have TV, satellite, all these things from. It only takes one British neutron to come with industrialization. You don't need the whole country to be at that level of genius. So indeed, 60% of all these people, we've got stress of how many engineers we need, how many chartered accountants we need, all these fields. But the rest of the people, 60% like in Germany, get trained by industry. And they get paid while they are trained. Now, I'm just saying that I was mentioning it because maybe I've got so much confidence that if our SABC conveys messages that it needs to convey properly, we can make headway in this country, because I believe that knowledge has so much power. It can move the world. And I think it is wasted in most of the time. And that leads me to the second point. I heard from, I think it was Deputy Minister Zenobet Babela, that in Britain, 100% of the public broadcaster finances, in fact, 100%, in fact, public sector broadcaster is financed 100% by government. I know we said, I think, it's 60%. So we can understand when you have these financial problems, because, to be honest, if you're going to reach a stage where we are desperate and dependent on alcohol and alcohol adverts to survive, I'll really be disappointed, because we know how many alcoholics it is produced and what leads to alcoholism, child abuse, women abuse at home, all kind of social illnesses and maladjustments that are there. So in Britain, I hear it's 100% that is subsidized from government into public broadcaster. Maybe we're going to look at that model, but obviously, if the money that is there is not properly used and somebody put it in his pocket, it's discouraging us, because we'll think, well, you can do 100%, but if it's not going to be used for where it is intended, what's the use of doing 100%? So, first of all, you've got to clean your house, and that is very important. But I'm just saying, we're pinning hopes on the broadcaster that it can communicate with our nation. Explain these things to our youth. The issue of vocational, that you don't have an inferior brain if you do artisanship. It is actually doing something in line. And in fact, countries like Germany, 60% are doing that and they are successful. The last point, CEO, thanks also for your response. But just this thing of turnaround, maybe I don't understand the jargon you're using, the way I should understand it. I mean, after 2010, after Soccer World Cup, we were told, because of problems within SABC, they need to do a turnaround. Now, what I'm asking, at one stage, I thought there was hope, because we were told to turn the turnaround, we are out of the race, though we're not totally out of problems, financially in particular. So, after turning around, at least we're moving ahead now. Now, while I'm looking upon you moving in a straight line forward, you're now turning around again. That's why I'm getting confused. Can't be this turnaround, what is this turnaround exactly? Just explain to us, have we turned around from when it was at the depth of waters, and if that is the case, hopefully we're making progress, because we're moving forward now. That's the turnaround concept. Because I'm saying, we can't only just be turning around. Where are we going to end up? We can reach any destination, as far as I understand, if you all the time turn around. If you turn around, then you take the right direction, then you go, you move forward. See?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say on the full Malaysia thing, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty and your openness. There's this wireless network here.
Because the one they're working with, the bullet one for me.
Sorry, okay, start again. Thank you to the Deputy Chair for his openness and frankness about the Malaysia issue. I think it's time that we actually put this thing behind us, and particularly if Kaiser can get going, the blacklisting issue, get that court case resolved, or that inquiry done.
Feedback.
Because there's obviously Yeah, I did, thank you. There's obviously a lot of noise out there, about political interference in the SABC. There has been a huge history of it, not only in this democratic government, but previously before. And so it'd be actually great to actually get that a clean slate. So we welcome your factors, hope that it's resolved soon, and that we can bank on your assurance that news value in SABC will be just that, that it will be, coverage will be based on the value of the news rather than where it comes from. So I hope that will come forward. Also, just to go back on the DGT thing, perhaps I didn't phrase my question clearly. There's limited money for this. Treasury's not giving you money. You have three channels already. Those three channels are going to be digitized. Can we not build on those, build the SABC's credibility on those with better content, better news coverage, attract audiences back, attract advertisers, so that you can then prove to the funders, the net banks, whoever, and the advertisers that you actually can deliver, and then go into the other channels? Because to me, we try to do too much with too little money, and nothing, I fear nothing will get done properly. Then spinning on from that, there's a lot of money that's been put down here for technology platform upgrades and new stuff. Millions and millions of rands. Now, what can you, presumably you haven't been allocated or the funding for the new kit hasn't been approved yet. So that's part of your DTT budget that you're hoping for. So none of it's gone out to tender yet. No one's bought anything yet. Am I right on that? Okay. So then would you be able to tailor your shopping list to just provide digital platforms, new studios, etc., for the three existing channels as a starter, or was it worthwhile to actually buy in all the new kit at once and get it in place so that when you have proven yourself on your three channels that you can then move rapidly up to all the others, to start all the other channels? I think I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just tell the CFO that my calculation was on the income statement and I did get 4.87, but that's not the one I referred to. In fact, I looked at the other one. It was one under liabilities, which in fact is not 47% anymore with your new figures. It's now 65% difference from 12/13 to 13/14. So that was the one I was referring to. And while I'm on that particular page, my colleague that left mentioned the legal liabilities, and the CEO indicated that it is a problem. Now, you also do say in your document that there are a number of cases against the SABC that are currently underway. But again, I don't find any provision for that in terms of your income statement or otherwise. Then let me just check, person, very quickly also. I'm not too happy with the answer about the fuel bar, because you when you changed it from the petrol card to the fixed amount, it was some 40-odd%, if my memory serves me correct, more than the system that was in fact abused. So, if I simply look at figures, then I'd almost say, well, leave them, let them carry on abusing, and you're still going to say 40%. But I beg to answer the question then, was there no cost-benefit? Was there no cost-benefit analysis done when you changed over to the, and maybe it's not you, but when it was changed to the other system? Because surely if somebody had done their homework, then red flag should have gone up that it's actually going to cost more than the abused system. Now, related to that, Chairperson, I have to ask, and I want the CEO to know that we as a committee will support her in terms of holding people accountable. Are there no senior managers, senior personnel left in this organization that took some of those decisions that we were talking about, the audit skill that was never done, the performance agreement that was never signed? Is there nobody left there that were part of those decisions that we can hold accountable? Well, there's my answer. May I ask a last question, and please forgive me once again, because I've tried to do a lot of research, Chairperson, and there's a lot of things going through my mind that may not apply.
I hope you said the right thought, Ethan.
I'm not even sure anymore. I've just had to read so much. But there was at one stage, I'm not sure if it was an allegation, or in fact if it was discovered by the Auditor General or somebody else, that the organization was paying for DSTV subscriptions for their staff. If that ever happened, if it's been stops being put to that, what is the situation? Then lastly, Chairperson, the CEO did talk about the negative publicity and the leaks and so on. And it's actually pretty simple. First of all, one must obviously try and avoid that negative publicity. But should it get out, to my mind, the best defense is, instead of, and not coming out with the truth and trying to, is actually go out there and put out the statement and say, these are the facts. And it then puts an end to all that negative publicity. Whether it's something that's a bad reflection, but it will stop the innuendos and the guessing and all sorts of other stuff. And I want to leave, close with that for my section.
Message management.
Which message?
What Honourable Stein has now proposed, that come out with the facts, and in doing so you manage the message and you don't just say no, it's not true, and then more and more stories start. So what I'm saying is that would be message management and is different from propaganda.
I can see you are looking to Mr. Kanyak, I don't know why, but you would focus.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just a small question relating to the digital migration. It seems the time is running out. Public awareness regarding digital migration, it's not visible. Obviously, we're not sure. I mean, we don't care who's responsible for this, because in a sense, everybody is responsible for it. So digital migration, are you making the public aware of that, of digital migration? That's my question. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other hand? You can respond.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. The CFO will respond on the employee benefit matter. On the question of, and that's Honourable Killian, already that's no issue. On the question of whether or not our content causes competition between the different channels, we have what's called a transversal strategy now, and I will submit that there is a time when we were not very focused on that. We have what's called a transversal and network complementary strategy. It sounds like big words, but all it simply means is that we will not have a drama on SABC1, a drama on SABC2, and another one on SABC3 all running at the same time. Instead, what we are now doing is to align our programs in such a manner that a person who loves soapy knows that they can start with Save and Align at 6:30. And then they take a little break, and at 7:30 they go to Isidingo, at 8 o'clock they go to Generations. So that way we keep them within the network. We are completely aware of the fact that we have to try and keep the audiences inside the network. So we actually call it a network strategy where we do that. I hope I'm not going to go into too much of that. But I think it will be helpful to inform you that as a result of that strategy, just looking at the soap operas, Seven Delan Generations and Isidingo, we have managed to increase our audiences by 20%. So it does work when we do that. Thank you very much. Honourable Ntate Kekane, thank you very much for your expression of happiness at what we are doing with the youth. I must emphasize, Honourable Kekane, that the question inclusion of youth is so critical. In can I call it my personal agenda if the board will allow me? Because we talk all the time about young people who are struggling to find themselves. And the content that we create should enable them to find themselves. Where we are going to be starting very serious extension programs, you would have a program that deals with a process that a young person goes through to find themselves. And we extend that program so that it becomes a workshop subject externally from the organization. So we're going to be doing many crazy things around those. But thank you very much for once again re-emphasizing the question of youth and education and the seeming lack of strategy around that. We will come back, I hope, next year when we come back and sit here with you again, you will tell us that we've done well. We are going to do that. There's a question around turnaround. The first statement I made to my executive team, and they are here, including Google, was that we mustn't turn around until we become dizzy and fall. And what we agreed, what my team agreed with me on, was that this whole thing called turnaround, the word simply has to drop. And that's what I tried to explain in the morning, that we are making it standard operating procedure now, making sure that our liquidity levels are kept at an appropriate level, making sure that our staffing levels are meaningful and we control those costs, making sure that which is supposed to be our premium channel, SABC3, actually does become a premium channel. So all of these things are now standard operating procedures. And yes, and that I promise you're not going to hear the word turnaround again. It's gone. Thank you very much for that. It's not you this time. Honorable Member Shin, we appreciate your comments on news, and I want to assure you that there has never been any intention on my part to control news. I do have a role to play at an oversight level, and where I perceive that there are certain things that are not going right in terms of the requirements of the editorial policy as it looks now, I do have to start asking questions. The question of requesting the diary was a once-off matter where I just needed to follow up on whether what was being reported as biased reporting was indeed biased reporting. So there's absolutely, I would never be able to survive if I tried to manage news. And certainly news exists in radio as well. All 18 radio stations carry news. Now, if I even attempted to do that, I would be dead before next week. So I have no intention of doing that. We are busy bringing back integrity into news. And I hope you are watching and that you are noticing that there is a difference. The word has gone down to the team. All we seek is editorial integrity and we seek balance. That is all. I have not asked for the diary again because I can see that we are improving. And as I said, unfortunately, we do not get the ARs as rapidly as we'd like to get them. But I'm quite sure that the ARs on SABC3 are beginning to go up because the public is beginning to notice the difference and they are watching. The three channels investment, we absolutely agree with you, ma'am. In fact, a substantial portion of the 800 million is going to be to assist the three channels because when our DTT rollout process comes about, we are not going to go in one fell swoop and have everything go live at the same time. We're going to phase it. To quite a degree, the sports channel is taken care of because we are signing these deals with the various sporting codes. it means we have the content that we can play there. We have a lot of children's content for the children's channel. We have a lot of that content. We have a lot of content on education. That means we don't have to start from scratch and produce that content. So I'm just giving you the example, an example with those two possible channels going forward, that in the beginning, we are not going to be requiring huge capital injection, but yet certainly we will take care of the three channels until such time that we are able to afford everything else. We are, however, still hoping that you will speak on our behalf, that our budget be reviewed, because if the nation is expecting these new channels and we don't deliver them, we will run into the same trouble as we have run into with the 24-hour news channel that's been promised since, I think, 2005 or thereabouts. So we hope that you will come on board and assist us in getting that going. Investment on content for SABC3 is a priority. The acting channel head is looking very hard to see at what new properties can be brought in, which can up the game. We are fairly happy with SABC 1. It continues to draw very huge audiences. However, as Ntate Kekane very eloquently stated, we are changing that content so that it does meet the values that right at the beginning this morning I said we espouse. So that content is going to be changing dramatically. We will keep the content interesting so that people want to watch it and follow it, but the values are going to change dramatically. Honorable Stain, the legal issues have been budgeted for. I think the accountants have a special word for that, but they have been budgeted for. And we are hoping, however, that we will be able to negotiate with some of these parties. One of the things that my executive team has accepted is that there is no deal that can go unnegotiated. So where there is potential litigation, the CFO and I are moving forward and meeting the companies that are laying a claim against us so that we can start to mitigate. And without divulging too much, there is one such company that has come willingly to say, we are willing to review, let us engage more. So we are doing all of that. The DSTV payment, that stopped. Everybody's paying for themselves now. Thank you very much.
It was true, it just has been stopped.
It was true, Chair.
For paying for your competitor so that you can watch how to beat them. Okay, no, but
indeed. It's just one of those decisions, Chair, that I don't know how to explain, but it has been stopped. It's no longer happening. Oh, yes. They get a phone call directly from the SABC itself because our call center is right at Auckland Park, so nobody is able to escape the TV license payment. Thank you for your advice on negative publicity. We are trying to do that. But as I mentioned earlier, sometimes it's very difficult to be able, Honorable Member Killian, to put the facts on the table when a matter is sensitive and there's potential litigation attached to it and you don't want to jeopardize the case. It's very difficult to do that. But we are learning. We have learned the hard way. And Keza understands his job is so much bigger than what he thought it was. Honorable Zohar, the digital migration information has been published quite substantially in all the major newspapers. I think what you are picking up, a missing element, is that in the public broadcasting space, nothing much has been said. We will certainly follow up with the ministry. The representatives are here. Bongile, Kuti, Kupi, you are here. they are here, so we will certainly speak to the minister about investing in awareness on our platform. Thank you very much, Chair. I believe I've exhausted all the questions. Google wants to talk very quickly. Will you be brief?
Thank you. Honourable Member Steyn, apologies. I was answering the question from an income statement perspective and not balance sheet. On the balance sheet, our employee benefits are going up not because we're employing more people, but the last few years we've had a pension fund holiday, which means that we had a surplus, and what we had been doing is we had been using it up over time, and this year of 2011-12 is the last year, so now we have to now start providing for it ourselves in terms of balance sheet, and that is why that liability, you see it going up. But before, we were offsetting it against the assets that we had as a surplus. Was there something else? All right. Oh, thank you. On the legal liabilities, as you're well aware, in terms of how we account for them, is that at the stage where we know it's probable that the case is to be settled or we've reached finality, we raise a provision, obviously, and once we settle, then we release the provision. So what you are seeing there is what we are deeming as provisions for 2012-13. But for 2011-2012, we already have a very substantial provision that we are anticipating to have released. So what you don't see there is that we are expecting the release. So, but we will also disclose it in the annual financials, and we'll also disclose any contingent liabilities on the legal cases that we think will be imminent. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Just on the question of where we are, we're still on the red. I think the committee. And thanks again for you giving us the opportunity to comply this afternoon with the requirements as expected. But I'm sure you can see that a lot has improved at the CDC, from leadership, governance, to moving away from the acting Hollywood. We now have stability at executive management level. We now have a company secretary who is going to ensure and assist us as the board in respect of the governance issues and compliance issues across the board. And you see the finances, that there is a lot of improvement. And I think we owe it to this collective leading SABC to acknowledge and appreciate and support them, and we commit to the board to continue supporting our management to ensure that we succeed in that regard. But lastly, just to comment that I think it's proper that we asked the questions and we have made the commitment in respect of editorial integrity, editorial, journalistic and creativity and independence. As tomorrow is the World Press Freedom Day, we assure you that SABC is the public broadcaster that was established post-1994, and we are strengthening ourselves towards that direction. We enjoy the freedoms in respect of media freedom in South Africa that have been guaranteed through our constitution, and we continue to make sure we protect the integrity of our public broadcaster. Thank you.
Madam Green.
Thank you, Chair. I just wondered if I could, I think the CEO has already spoken very fully and eloquently on the news issue, but I just wanted to add a couple of things in light of what the Honourable Member Shin said about lousy content, and I think that it might have been true, and there might be parts in which that is true, but I just want to point out a couple of things because I come from the profession. But for instance, the CEO mentioned the awards that had been won by SABC journalists. I'd like to add another one, and I should disclose that I was on the judging panel, but it was unanimous with seven other judges who had nothing to do with the SABC, with the Tackler Caper Investigative Awards. There were two SABC journalists who were finalists in that. It's not easy to be a finalist. There were, I think, 12 finalists out of more than 40 entries, and this is really is the top journalism in the country. The second thing is, as you know, as far as editorial accountability and control is concerned, there are objective measures. News is sometimes seen as subjective, but there are objective measures by which you can measure how the news is doing. One is ARs, audience figures, radio audience figures as well. The other is rulings against you by the BCCSA on account of inaccuracy, bias, those kind of things. So in other words, and the third is awards. So in other words, what the CEO does, and this is not peculiar to South Africa, it happens in a lot of other public broadcasters all over the world, the CEO has final accountability for measuring those elements. And it is within her purview to do that without basically countering or undermining editorial independence at all. So I just think that the perception that the perception of lousy content, I think, might be a historical one. There is on, the CEO also alluded this morning to the show that we have on AM Live on SAFM, which went through a very, very big dip in figures in the past 3 years. It's begun, or past 5 years, it's begun to climb again. And I think that anyone who listens to the news anchor on that, Kolani Gwala, and some of the quality of the news reports will realize, Chair, that I think he's comparable to the best in the world, actually, in terms of his journalistic integrity and excellence. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. No, that's good. I think we've done very well. We are moving towards closing. Look, it's not your problem. It will be your problem next year. For this year, probably it's not your problem. Now, it's a matter which we also, like I've indicated before, we'll pick it up and engage earlier, probably it also the OC. It's a matter of the requirement in terms of the law on how you must account. The separation of public and commercial. As it stands now, it means it should have been submitted to separate in terms of the law. We've not been complying with the law, but it's not your problem, like I'm saying. It's a matter which you must start to gear up that you comply when you come next year. It should be in terms of what the legislation is saying, the separation of public and commercial. Because part of the difficulty for us as a committee to say, deal with the funding. We can't deal with the funding under this environment because the commercial is also clouding the public. So we must know what is the performance of the public service, what is the performance of the commercial separately, because we can't fund the commercial. But we have to fund the public where you are dealing with the public mandate. Isn't it the commercial you are making money, you are competing like anyone else? So there, if you have to have a bad business case, if you don't survive, you don't survive. But the public one, we are responsible, because that's where it's putting a lot of obligation to you as SABC. That's what the legislation does, put a lot of obligation to you. So that's where the issue of funding, we want to concentrate and be able to understand the constraint there so that we're able to motivate for funding. But now, as it is probably that there's a mix. That is very difficult to draw a line where does the public start and end, and so on. So probably if you just, now I'm happy with the new company secretary, just go through the legislation and deal with those two-legged animals, the public and the commercial, so that the discussion moving forward is also based on that. It's just, I'm saying it's not your problem. Probably not the board and yourself has been the legacy that even ourselves as parliament, we decided to turn a blind eye on the letter, on the law, what the law says and the other things and so on. But it's a matter which we need to start to correct. That's why I'm not sure whether I'm adding a headache or what. But as you'll be coming, as you are preparing your things, now we start, you need to go back to the legislation and comply with the legislation. It's not a matter whether we want it or not. It's the legislation of Parliament. We are passed by Parliament. Until it's being amended or otherwise, we have to comply with that legislation and so on. But like I'm saying, it's not your problem. Don't worry much. We are not going to deal with this matter now based on it. But it's a matter which you must come with for it and so on. Then I think we'll engage productive on the issue of the funding under that particular environment and so on. Not that we are not supporting it now. We are supporting the issue of funding, but I'm saying that would be clear, more clear at that particular point how to do those matters. That's one. The second issue, probably I must not ask it because we have to go. We're running out of time. Is the matter that are the print media paying you to advertise them? Because you're listening your morning live, whether it's Kolani in the morning, they will probably say, you age pastor and so this is a story, carry it there. You watch Vuyo and so on, they are flashing newspapers. Now, you are saying to us, you've got journalists all over who are gathering information, but you seem to rely on the print media. Now, I just fail to understand that. Probably because we are working there, you've got experience to understand. But I just fail to understand where SABC openly advertised newspapers free. I'm not sure that they are paying you, or it's free of charge or what. Because openly people are flashing, so what turned the cover story, the headline today, citizen, and so on and so on. And then you go to Kolan on the same thing, page 7 of New Age, there is this and so on and so on. What are your journalists doing exactly? If you've got them all over, they are gathering news and so on, but when it comes to news, you seem to promote print media. I just don't understand that. But I'm not sure, maybe it's me because I'm not from the profession, I don't understand, but as a layman, I just don't understand exactly what is going on there, whether it's a arrangement with the print media and so on, because, look, that defeated the diversity of youth. But that's where I'm coming from, my argument. That defeat, that diversity of views and so on, because now we limit us again to come to what is contained in the newspapers, not what you go for news yourself, as SABC and other things and so on. But like I'm saying, I'm just commenting as a layman, probably at one point, Madam Green will school me and understand exactly what is the matter around that particular issue. But I thought it's a matter which I just said to raise it. Probably at one point we'll be able to enter and read and so on. But as for the proceedings today, I think there is a general consensus that on the issue of Mr. Moniz, we acknowledge that there are internal processes within SABC which are taking place. And I'm glad because members accepted your explanation and so on. But we have to acknowledge that there are those internal processes which are currently busy within the SABC. So probably those processes must unfold until you finalize that particular matter and so on. So the explanation for today, I think it will suffice. There's nothing more we can ask on you if you are still busy with the matter internally and so on. The issue of skill audit. We would like to have a follow-up. When that strategic plan was presented, there was budget attached to it, which means money was spent if it did happen. So someone must be able to come back with a comprehensive report what exactly happened. Because now we are engaging to another skill audit. But if that happens, so that we get a closure that, you know, that one was never conducted, it was never conducted, or it happened, but what happened exactly, where is the report and the other things and so on. So I think the issue of skill audit is a matter which you need to follow up with yourself so that you are able to tell us what exactly happened there, because the document was presented, there was a time frame there and so on. But we take the point that you are begging to find that document and most of those people are no longer there, but we will at one point need to get some closure so that people understand that they don't just do things and then they disappear without being followed up and so on. The CMS and ATOS contract. We appreciate the report we were given us. But the problem, we didn't attach any figures. We're just saying money paid, and so it's fine. Probably it's fine. But we need a comprehensive report on that.
as a committee, what exactly happened and where are we going to about that thing? Whether at one point the board takes a decision and so on is something, but we need a detailed report around that thing. What exactly happened there? I'm raising this point because part of that thing was supposed to transfer skills to SABC. The capacity which everyone complains does not have there, but you are busy paying money to call, to companies to capacitate, but it seems as if the skills does not come. Now, the value for money in that contract needs to come out exactly. So, but I appreciate today we have high flying, that report is fine. It will suffice for today, but we'll need that report. Exactly what happened and the money is involved there and the processes of approval, as well said, who did what and so on and what was the holding and so on until it's final. So we have to go back to that particular matter and so on. But for today, it suffice your response which you have given and so on. The issue of Utatusnuki and the allegation and so on, I think we are accepting that it's under the ICASA process. I'm sure it's the CCC which is dealing with that particular matter. So we have to await those processes to unfold until the matter comes to finality. There is nothing more I'm sure you can help us with, because the data and everything is managed by ICASA, not by yourself and so on. So they must deal with their particular process and so on. Look, members, the issue of licensee is the matter which we need to deal with ourselves. I was looking at the British one. It's not funded by government, but it's funded through licenses. But you see, the culture there of pay is higher than here in South Africa. People are paying there, but most of their fees through the licenses and so on. But again, they are helped because there is a legislation from Parliament which compels people to, which we don't have ourselves and so on. So it's a matter which we need to look into through the processes of amendment of legislation and so on. But we think that SAPC can still do more work in terms of research and so on, so that they are able to come to us with options. Don't say to us, probably the legislation must change and so on, it's fine, but to change to where? To which direction you must deal with the legislation amendment and other things and so on. So that, because in Britain, the law of parliament, they assist them in terms of that particular matter and so on. So probably you need to do some research yourself and come forward with, of course, understanding the South African situation. But the issue of moratorium, which we are talking about, of the exemption for a certain period and so on, it's a matter which probably you need to start to deal with so that it's clearly understood what do you mean exactly and so on, and follow the necessary process that the minister must be able to do certain things around that particular matter and so on. Does not seem to be a bad idea, because probably there might be a clash between unpaid licenses and the issue of set-top boxes. And you see, it's good to say this must happen and so on, but the bigger picture that might compromise the universal service access we are trying to achieve. If people don't get set-top box because of TV licenses, which are not paid, now we are defeating the bigger picture of universal service and access and so on. But on the same time, we cannot encourage people not to pay for what Honorable Shin was saying. We cannot encourage people not to pay for their licenses and so on. So it's a matter of how do you deal with that issue of moratorium, as we are talking about, in relation probably linking with the issue of set-top box and so on. But either way, we still have to look into the matter and change the legislation. And see how to help you with the legislation and so on. But I think we need to start to engage more with the broad processes of digital migration and other things and so on. Maybe that will be able to help us. Now, the matter which we have touched, but moving quick, is the issue of subscription or pay TV. You know, my understanding was that why there is a mass carry rule is because of this issue that we wanted everyone to have the public broadcaster or the free-to-air. Now, that is a matter which is ourselves, we need to engage also this pay TV. Because sometimes if you don't pay for your subscription, you can't watch anything. That defeats now the purpose why we have put mass carry rule. That the mass carry is so that you are able to watch it. But if you don't pay the subscription, not the license, TV license, their subscription, you might be, sometimes they are cut off even to watch SABC. Now, it's a matter which they can't have it both. It's either a mass carry stance
or must carry withdrawn. But it can't be both that they are carrying SABC, but if you don't pay them, then they cut you off of SABC. But the intention or intent of the legislation was that people must have is the issue of this access that people must have and so on. So it's a matter which probably needs to be visited so that it's correctly aligned. How do you deal with that and so on? Because they are capable to close their channel and allow you to continue to watch the others. But sometimes it does not happen like that. Just a total touch. And so on. So I think it's a matter which we need to visit when we deal with the mass carry rule, because they can't have it both. It's either that or that, and so on. So currently, they seem to be benefiting both to a certain extent. They close, they open, and the other things, and so on. So probably those are the things which we might have to go back and revisit, and so on. But coming to your presentation today, my understanding with original engagement was that this is your original strategic plan which you have submitted. You have submitted this document. But the quarterly performance will be replaced by this document, the supplementary information into that document. And then you also have the IRATAF schedule which you have, which will go back and effect the changes in the main document. And the finances part of this document will go out and be replaced by a financial report which you have given, because you said there are problems in terms of the finances which are here. Now, I'm just doing that so that member also remind themselves that if we accept this, it means we'll accept it with this supplementary or the presentation document with the change of the supplement and so on. But from our side, we are also going to await for the ratification of this document so that in due time the correct document is resubmitted to Parliament. So that will carry it probably on our report, on our last report, so that later then the correct document will be submitted to Parliament. Now, the issue which I will pose to you is that when will everything be incorporated and we have one document, which will be ready for submission to Parliament, because we must know that, so that as we conclude, we are clear in terms of that process and so on. Can I have a response around that?
Thank you very much, Chair, for summing up matters that way. We will spend sleepless nights between today and the end of the weekend in order to reconsolidate, put back the documents where they should be, remove that which is not correct, correct the errata, and clean up the document completely so that by next week, Thursday, it is delivered to your desk.
No, thank you. That will be fine. Then we'll engage with the minister in terms of the process of submitting the document, because it must go back and so on. But you can give it to us so that we know that it's ready. Then we engage with the minister in terms of resubmitting the document, the corrected document and so on. Members, that is a strategic plan for 2012-2013 for SABC with all the attachments, correction, supplement, you name it, everything done to it, which I will put before you. Agreed. It is agreed, Chairperson.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and distinguished members of the House. We are indeed impressed, and we have learned hard lessons. Bear in mind, this is a learning curve. A great many of us are, much as we are old, but we are new in this game. And we are beginning to learn the ropes and to acquaint ourselves with the nuances and the culture and the decorum of Parliament. But we promise to do things right. There's a commitment that exists in this team. I just want to refer to a speech made by Harold Macmillan in 1960 when he spoke about the winds of change. The winds of change are indeed blowing the corridors of the SABC. And we have promised and want to stick to this promise. It will not be business as usual. We will accept standards. We will accept performance in particular. We will not have rampant across-the-board increase of salaries. People will have to earn their salaries and their place at SABC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Chair, for that closing. I thought you'll explain to me what happened to the board members who disappeared during the course of the meeting. And I've been patiently waiting that someone will explain where are they. Because I saw them in the morning, they disappeared. What happened to them? Can you explain, Chair, before we close?
Well, let me tender the apologies. They did indicate they were having pressing commitments and had requested that they would want to be released immediately after lunch. So it was my error that I didn't bring this to the attention of the House.
No, thanks, Chairperson, Deputy Chair. If that is the case, there's nothing we can do. But they must know next time, once they are in Parliament, they are under my control. I must know. When you get out back, they go back to you. It's fine in the Chairperson. But we must know where are they going, because maybe not these sharks here in Cape Town, they like people who are not staying in Cape Town. So you think they're still around and the shark has already dealt with them and so on. But nevertheless, thanks very much, members, for enduring the whole presentation for this long time and so on. Thanks very much, SABC, Deputy Chairperson, Group CEO, and your team, other body members, and also executives, and all the supporting staff, and so on, DOC, and everyone who's here. Thanks very much. Members, on the last issue for what, I had a discussion with, I always forget the name, .za, something like that, domain, and we never call them, so I'm not even used on the name. But I released them, looking at the time that they are not going to be able to present. I've consulted with DOC, we engaged with DOC, and they said, it's fine. If they don't present, we'll try to create some time for them. Probably when we deal with the skill issues for Dr. Reso, that they come and present so that we understand exactly what they are doing, because they seem to be doing a very important work. Whenever they are doing, but unfortunately, time didn't allow us to deal with that. With that, members, let's see whether tomorrow you get the report for DOC, so that we finalize it. The issue is, we can't debate on Tuesday if the committee report does not appear on the ATC. So everyone must understand that, including the department. If we don't make it on Friday to adopt the report, it means we are not going to debate Tuesday, because formally, and in terms of the rules of Parliament, the committee has not finalized to deal with the matter. Now, that's the importance of adopting the report, but we will try to make sure that we get that done tomorrow, so we must not sleep. And then we are trying to do that. And there are other members who have preferred that probably meet tomorrow to deal with the report. The practicality of that is something we are trying to look into that. But we are going to try to work hard. If we are able to, probably might call a late meeting tomorrow, provided we are available, and see whether we can delete it tomorrow and so on. But if for practical reasons, because it seems to be difficult, we won't be able to. Then it means we must try to finalize it Monday. But Friday, if we don't do that, and it does not appear to the ATC Monday, there will be no debate, should it? So it's difficult as that, in terms of this process and so on. Otherwise, thanks very much.
Thank you.